Hello, welcome to another Cage Club Revisited. This is, oh boy, almost had it. Thought about it, didn't
do it. I knew this was going
to
happen.
Episode 24, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Intentionally did not remind you to check.
Bad Lieutenant, : Port of Call, New Orleans, 2009. Werner Herzog, Nicolas Cage, Ava Mendez, Lindsay Gibbs, Twitter, Banner.
And Kyle, who else is in this movie?
Oh, Kyle Reinfried's here.
Hi, guys.
And this episode's going to come out in June. Is your podcast going to be up in June or no?
No, July.
Okay, so
coming in July, Foodie Film.
We didn't mention him still, though. The blonde guy in this movie, did we?
Who's the blonde guy?
Val Kilmer.
Yeah, Val Kilmer's in this too.
Okay,
we're watching the iguana.
We're watching the Blu-ray today. So if you want to watch it, we're going to hit play feature in 3, 2, 1, play.
Right, that was a nice DVD mini.
So Kyle, we have here Cage Club Bingo, Nicolas Cage Movie Bingo, which you can download at cageclub.me/games. Anytime you see one of these things on screen, check it off. If you know something's coming, but it's not happened yet, don't do it yet, because you haven't won yet.
Let's see, there's one.
Cage Shades, Saturn I'm Films. That.
Saturn Films, that's
got
Cage's...
That. All right, Cage's this is producer slash Saturn Films.
I need to look at this thing to find out where they are on the...
Familiarize yourself with it.
Yes.
We are on
Cage
number...
Cage smokes wait, or on. Does drugs.
We are on the fourth production logo, by the way.
This is going to be a bingo extravaganza.
All right, four production logos. There's no box for that. I just like to keep track. Okay. This, oh yeah, the snake in the water. This is all Katrina stuff.
Is Cage on screen with an animal here? Put it up, I think, put it up to 10 or 12 volume. We did that for the last one.
Supposedly, there was like, they had to use 2,800 cans of decaf coffee to make this water that dark and murky. I wish they used caffeinated coffee.
That's crazy, though. So, like, you could just take a sip, and it would be like...
It would probably be like the most watery coffee of all time.
Yeah.
But
to get that river murkiness.
And this is when, during Katrina, there was just, like, prisoners left in jail cells when
the
whole city was abandoned.
Have you guys ever watched the HBO show Tremé?
Yeah.
That's a great show.
Here we go. Is there a... is that the only prologue? We guess, like, the shortest prologue in history.
And this guy's important.
Well, this is the incident that...
New Orleans. Cross it off.
...defines Cage's character for the rest of the
Cage is top billed in the credits. Hey, you know when Cage goes on screen with that snake, you know what? I'm going to win.
Why? Because he's on
screen five
with
in a row.
Character with an animal?
Jeez.
Yeah.
I still need to...
Well, I know he's about to stand on something weird.
Sure is.
Cage is the producer.
I need to...
Top billed.
Was Katrina a holiday?
No.
I don't know,
for holiday setting.
Man, look at her hooters.
Ooh, nice nudity. Ooh. Nudity on your card, anyone?
Yeah, do you have nudity? I don't.
I know you can't hear him, but he does do a what I'm going to call a bad accent.
Well, I think he's doing. Accent? He's doing. It's his.
Well, he ends up being
Jimmy Stewart, right?
Later
yeah.
In the movie, the more
which,
like
we just watched Dog Eat Dog, where he whips out his Humphrey Bogart at the end.
Yeah.
And this
That's
is him.
Not a bad accent yet.
Him and Kilmer.
A bad
look great together.
Oh, yeah.
They look like they should be partners in, like, a series of movies.
This is, like, you know, Fat Val.
Fat Kilmer.
Gay Perry era.
Yeah.
And he is
four years
pretty much retired now, right?
Yeah, I actually got
to...
Yeah, I went to a live event with him a little over a year ago where it was a video recording of his one-man play of Mark Twain. And the only reason he didn't perform it then and showed the video is because I believe he never... I think he finally came out and admitted that he had throat cancer, but, like, wasn't saying to anybody.
Oh, okay.
And, like, I'm not to be rude to him, but it sounded... When he spoke, it sounded as if he had, like, a tracheotomy.
Okay.
All
right, so health issues.
Health issues. Things, but... I mean, the one-man play was phenomenal.
But he
though.
Still showed up.
Yeah, that's and like... and when I went up to him and grabbed the picture, you couldn't. I had the Bad Lieutenant Blu-ray with me, but they said no autographs, so I couldn't do that. But I went up to him, and when I shook his hand, I just went, "There ain't no iguanas," and he started chuckling. I'm like, "Yes."
Cage is standing on something kind of weird here, right?
So, I mean, no, he's on a walkway. Relax.
No, but it's like a weird ledge.
It's only a weird ledge because there's water flooding the bottom level. It's a normal ledge.
They have those in prisons where you just like walk. Oh yeah, I guess
it's
so.
A catwalk. It's like a second floor.
It's just a catwalk. Okay.
It's life on the catwalk. On the catwalk.
I do my little turn.
Would you consider the nudie photos an awkward sex scene? I know one's coming. I know one's. No pun intended.
We're gonna
and.
We're going to get at least one.
This is going to be... there's going to be a lot of boxes checked off on this. I can tell you that much.
Cage compromises a woman. I love it.
Yeah. I have very little so far on my board.
Well, I only have four. They're all in a row.
Oh, Cage in jail. He's in a jail.
That's true.
Anyworth? He's like, I got my nice silk on.
And he's right, because this fucks up his back for the rest of the movie. Yeah, he should have.
He does a good deed, and then he gets fucked off. Ugh.
He was never on screen with that snake.
So what do you think happened? That, like, his feet hit the bottom?
Yeah, he just... It's
and
like,
it, like...
Yeah.
Compressed his spine.
He should have done a cannonball.
Yeah.
This doctor's nobody.
Cage is exasperated slash a broken man. He's a literally broken man right now.
There was no voiceover. No visible attempts at religion or spirituality.
Digestive system. Oh, okay.
He's just gonna be on Vicodin forever.
This is the best. How long am I gonna have it forever? It's like you're gonna need to manage your pain.
I'm trying to pay attention to see if he stutters or hesitates. I think that's
well. That's a tough one to do when we do this. But sometimes when there's like voiceover though, the subtitles or shift
stuttered.
Yeah, okay. They'll have that around it.
Oh,
or
applauses. Who applauses?
No, it's just a voice of an audio bridge.
So applause from there.
Yeah,
carryover.
I also don't know. I don't think applauses is a word. I don't think it's a word.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not criticizing you. You just read what's on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's applaud.
Or just applause.
Yeah.
Like the Lady Gaga song. Lady Gaga.
From to sergeant to lieutenant. Cajun uniform. Anyone have that?
No. That's
this
not.
Is two movies in a row we watched where he is in
a cop
uniform.
Yep. Sure is. He kind of looks. He could definitely be that Cillian Murphy role in The Dark Knight, like Scarecrow, like you know what I mean, like a cop who shouldn't be a cop.
I love even him standing there. He's like got his left
or
right shoulder down a little.
You could
bit.
See he's in pain. Yeah.
6 months later, is there a time jump kind of thing?
Oh, we know. Yeah, check for that.
I think. Ooh, is he? Wait, I think I'm gonna get one.
Let
me see.
Oh, when the iguana's on screen, you'll get him.
Oh, I know that.
Yes, I'm getting him.
Cage does drugs.
All right, he's doing some blow here.
We are 7 minutes into the movie.
What do you think? Do you think that's blow? Is he doing Mike cocaine? Is he doing heroin? Is he just snorting his Vicodin?
It's coke.
Okay. Because there's a point in this movie where he accidentally snorts heroin because he thinks it's coke. And he's like, oh, fuck, I did heroin. And he's got to ride that out. So,
Cage driving.
Yeah, I got that.
I can't keep track of all the drugs he does.
I'm going to get dancing for sure, because his soul's still dancing.
So it's anyone in the movie when it comes to that. So
unless it says Cage.
Yeah. Obviously. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, was he? Wait, no, he was in detective. No, oh, I got one. Cage wears a hat. He was wearing it in the ceremony.
Sure was.
Oh, he was wearing a hat. Wow, this is a...
I'm telling you, this is a big one.
See, I'm doing the wrong thing here. I'm trying to remember what happens in the movie.
I'm just going to
let it go.
So, Mike, I sort of teased this before. I have a thing for us to do in this episode.
Uh-oh.
I haven't opened these in years.
Uh-oh. Don't tell me you have trading cards. What? Oh my God! They're Bill and Ted's most atypical
movie cards. You can win a bodacious trip to San Dimas, California.
I feel like I should go into my vault over there and pull out a pack of trading cards because I bought a whole bunch of different trading card packs sealed for Third Time's a Charm and never talked about them on any of our shows yet. But I have Superman 3, Alien 3, Jurassic Park 3.
Wow!
I have Jaws 3D. 3D trading cards. I have Return of the Jedi trading cards now. I don't know what I'm going to do with any of them, but I have them.
We've got Abe Lincoln.
Oh, I love it. That's a good one.
What's it say on the back?
Oh, it's got
the final speaker, Abraham Lincoln, leaves the students with some departing thoughts. Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
Sweet.
Here's this one.
All right, what do we got here? Oh, this is from Bogus Journey. This is the... The Colonel Oates, so this is when they're in hell. Bill and Ted find a passageway and more doors. They step through one of the doors, and suddenly they are in an army bunker. A whistle blows, and there stands Colonel Oates. Only he's not as nice as he was before. Wait, was he nice? He commands Bill and Ted to get down and give him
cage
infinity
on screen with an
push-ups.
Give me a timestamp, because I
didn't
want
it. Uh-oh. Fastest one yet, 9 minutes.
No, it wasn't. It was, we won 6 minutes, something.
Oh, that's right. Okay, second fastest one.
Next card we have is... Oh, this is Bill with a princess. Bill and Ted simultaneously ask, will you marry us?
Oh, that's right. That was adorable. That's a really well-written scene when they're giving the same speeches.
Kyle, you want to do this one?
Sure. I got George Carlin on here.
What's the back say?
Says, Mr. Wardrow... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Ms. Wardrow splits her body in half and out emerges Rufus. Rufus is once again united with his amigos.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Sam Greer as Miss Woodrow.
See Rufus?
How did he fit into that? Oh, I like the shot of the band on the back there.
This one is of... Oh, it's when Bill and Ted are fighting Evil Bill and Ted. Ooh. Evil Bill and Ted, most ancient...
Nicolas Cage's face on screen. Right? He's so good. He's so good in this. I love the slick back hair. The right shoulder is down by, like, almost, like, 3 inches on one side.
Oh, that's their death scene.
Evil Bill and Ted most atypically push Bill and Ted off the side of the cliff and send them plummeting to their deaths.
Are you guys excited for the third?
Oh, man.
I know it's been, like, brewing for a long time.
Like, not only... I am even more so excited because I'll be able to review it not only on Keanu Club but on my own show, too. And hopefully there'll be
awesome,
a novelization.
Yeah.
So, as Bill and Ted, the Grim Reaper, and the Stations make their way back to civilization, Evil Bill and Ted go sailing through the living room window where Missy and the princesses sit.
Aww. Maybe one of them will become, like... work in the food industry and I'll get to cover it.
That'd be
great.
If
they work
at
a fast food joint
or
just something.
If history centers around a pizza or something.
Yeah.
The evil Bill and Ted kill Bill and Ted once again, but the Grim Reaper owes them two more lives.
That's right, dude.
That Grim Reaper, like,
oh, wait, that's
me
a deleted scene. The one you just read.
Yeah.
Because they get killed at the end by the robots again.
I like that. Okay.
Oh, this is the intro
of... front
of
this, on the back, oh, it's still...
Evil Mendes?
Yeah.
I love his jacket with the have a nice day smile.
Oh, yeah.
Evil Bill and Ted stop their music and stare. They cannot believe their eyes. Bill and Ted! This is card number 84.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh, here we go, Evil Mendes. This is... I mean, I know you won already, but this is someone from a previous Cage
She's
film.
Beautiful. The very Ghost
is.
Rider...
Did you complete it? Did you have five in a row?
No, not in a row.
So in Ghost Rider.
Oh, hold on. More importantly, Mrs. Ryan Gosling.
Oh yeah. That's right. Place Beyond the Pines
and Fast and Furious.
Oh, that's right. She covers so many bases.
Yeah, she's in 2 and 4.
Yeah.
No, 2 and 5.
I like how they did that, like, simultaneously.
Yeah.
She's in
the end of 5.
She's in the credit scene in 5.
Credit scene 5. Yeah. I thought she and The Rock were going to end up together, but then I guess he just has a... Does he have a wife, or does he just have a dog?
Okay, I think he's... I'm going to go out on a limb here and say his character might not be straight. I mean, in the good ways, like, in all the best ways, too, because...
Versus the bad ways?
Well, he doesn't have any, like, he really should, like, have a sexual interest, I feel like, in those movies, and he just does not. There's just no...
What are you,
like,
talking about?
Well, who, The Rock? And who?
Oh, The Rock. I think you meant Vin Diesel.
Oh, no. The Rock, Hobbs.
Vin Diesel.
And I also think that, you know...
So I was like, what movies are you watching? I just heard you.
Yeah. So, like, I hope that they do that with his character. And then him and Hobbs, they'll have such another dimension to their relationship.
An attractive woman finds Cage irresistible.
Oh, this is...
It's so good.
This reminds me
Please!
Of... Yeah, it reminds me... Anytime Cage is in a drugstore, you know, it's a great scene.
I love that, just, like, prescriptions above
him. Because he basically gets away with what he wants to do in Matchstick Men. When he's in Matchstick Men and he wants to go behind the counter and get the medication, they won't let him. But, like, here, he does it.
This is, by all means... Again, I mean, well, what do you... Is it, when you say bad accent, are you saying, like, it's bad? Or is it, like... You know what I'm saying? Like, bad isn't good, or...
Oh, I never noticed his accent in
Cage
this.
Cage freaks out.
That's great. I mean, I think he's just trying to sort of embody a whole new character here. Like, I really feel like he's got a read on this guy. Everything is calculated.
Bill and Ted decide they need to be better musicians. They jump into the booth, and in a flash, they disappear.
Oh, nice.
And then, like, we got one more. Uh-oh.
Okay.
And then Our princesses are in peril.
Uh-oh, the princesses are all tied up. Good robots, Bill and Ted, save the babes as they almost come crashing down on the stage.
Cool.
Did he just compromise a woman?
Well
compromise,
okay.
Compromise means have sex with them.
So, when we started doing Cage Club, and he had sex in, like, all of his movies, we got to a movie called The Boy in Blue, which took place in the late 1800s, and... It's about sculling, which got replaced by baseball as the national pastime.
And nobody remembers sculling.
Nobody remembers sculling, but it's basically just a guy in a boat rowing as fast as he can. In that movie, a woman says, "You compromised me," after they made love, and so ever since then, that is the term for sex in a
awesome.
Cage film, compromise.
For Keanu, it's sipping tea with Miss McGill, because in, what's the hockey movie?
Oh.
With Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. And Rob Lowe.
Young Blood. Yes. Everybody has sex with Miss McGill. They sip tea. With, they go up tea and then, you know, she seduces them.
I love him entering in this scene, him taking over.
Oh, Cage?
He goes in there and my friend and I, we always do the, like, not a fist bump, but it's like a finger tap bump that he does with this guy.
Oh, when he's trying to relate to the dude.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
It's all like, because it's all about,
who dat?
It's a big Haitian population, illegal Haitian population in
but Cage is
New
like, you know, he has his, he already has his plot and his pyramid for the cemetery in New Orleans.
There
he's going to be buried there, yeah. So,
oh,
I mean, that is like a home away from home.
Recently. I should have visited it.
Well, Chris Maniello, the host of Now and Again, visited there. He took a picture. His girlfriend, yeah.
So, and over the course of a few years after this movie, he really makes... Yes, New Orleans is home. That's great.
I love it.
Back in Angola.
So, guys, does anybody want to open a pack of Superman 3 trading cards and see what happens?
Is there bubble gum in it?
There is.
Oh, can I eat it?
I also have...
I wouldn't recommend it, but if you want
for
to...
For science, I will.
Science!
Anything for science.
I have one more pack of cards.
Oh, okay. I've got, like, not Superman 3. I have a couple of these, but I've got, like, I've got other cards in there, too.
The
Maybe this could be
crystal.
A thing.
Ooh.
Kyle, if you want the gum...
Yes.
Hold on,
wait, what year is this from?
Hold on, I'm going to film this.
1985? Hold on. This is from...
Wait.
Check the package. See if there's a...
So we're here with at Kyle's Here Now. We are recording...
1983?
This is going on Instagram. We have 1983 trading cards.
This gum is from 4 years before I was born.
So, Kyle, you going to eat it?
Yes. So, Superman 3, very patriotic, America.
If you die, this is a disclaimer that we did not cause this. We told you not to eat the gum.
There's the gum.
But you're doing it for science.
Science!
I would have just put it on your tongue and, like, let it, like, sort of melt. You chomped into it.
Are your teeth okay?
Is that flavor?
What?
Does it have any flavor?
It just tastes like
chalk.
Bored?
It's just totally disintegrating.
Did you eat the whole thing?
Yeah.
Can I see the pack?
Yeah.
Wow, it's all gone.
All right. I should line it up and snort it.
For
Bad Lieutenant, because we're watching Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, let's fan through the cards real quick.
Has Superman been snagged?
Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
I got the black lung pop.
And we got Bad Lieutenant.
Destruction of the Ultimate Computer.
I would like to let everyone
know.
The Enormous Ice Platter.
I love that scene.
Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen.
Nice.
I would like to let everyone know that this was soft bazooka.
So, Joey, this is... We met Clark Kent bumps into Gus when he,
broke
his pelvis.
Yeah.
Oh, look at his General Gus Gorman sticker.
Oh, my God.
The Kryptonite Ray.
Yeah.
Man of Steel versus himself.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
Oh,
that's
yes,
nice
Michael
one.
Shannon.
Is Superman doomed? Wait, Michael Shannon?
Yeah, he's in this.
Clark Kent defeated? And finally, off on vacation.
Yeah,
there
Lois.
You go, Lois with her bikini.
All right. So I'll go on Instagram. I don't know if Instagram has a time limit, but that's a minute 45.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff
minute,
on the back
maybe?
Here, too.
I think it's a minute on Instagram. Yeah. So, Michael Shannon's on screen right now. The same year, My Son, What Have Ye Done
that
came out.
That movie's incredible.
And that movie's insane.
Same
awesome.
Director.
Yeah.
So, Tobin and Mike... Me, Tobin and Mike have a... This is some behind-the-scenes shit for Cage Club. Me, Tobin and Mike have a thread on Twitter, just like that's how we communicate. So that's how we basically coordinate all the Cinemaker stuff. And Mike and Tobin freaking, they're like, oh my God, there's this movie, My Son, I'm like, guys, I saw that 5 years ago. Like, it came out in 2009. Like, where have you been? They're like,
up.
They're like, respect.
Yeah,
that,
no
that,
doubt.
That came out because Werner Herzog, like, read just, like, this news article about, like, the guy that was in the same predicament.
Well, yeah, it's based on a guy who was doing Hamlet and went crazy, right? Or is it
something
Macbeth?
Along
or
those lines.
He's in a Shakespeare play and he goes like nuts and takes it super serious. And
ooh, I'm about to get compromising a woman.
There's writing on the back
and
of these
overt
Superman
sexism.
So here is, just so you know, while we're recording this live episode of Cage Club Revisited, Joe and I just got hate mail for Zack Attack from a new fan.
Oh, awesome!
Which I'm not gonna.
No, that's save it for Zack Attack, but. Thanks for mentioning it. Here, I want to read one of these. Once Ross Webster has control of the satellite, Vulcan, he can direct the world's weather and cause major calamities. First, Gus Gorman needs an obscure, untraceable place to work his computer wizardry, like Smallville, where Clark Kent accidentally bumps into the arriving
Mr.
Gorman.
You know what I love, Mike? This is the, like, maybe arguably the best movie we've done for this. We're paying zero attention to it. We're eating 30-year-old or 40-year-old gum.
I really don't feel good.
Did you swallow it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Why would you do that?
Because it dissolved.
Okay. You gotta get the hospital online. Okay,
don't.
Awkward sex scene.
This is awkward
Look how
sex
much
scene.
I have circled, but none of it's...
Yeah, that's how Cage Club bingo goes sometimes. You'd be surprised.
You can go to cageclub.me/games.
I won't... I think just knowing this movie, I'm not gonna get any in a row.
A woman she's gonna get attacked here, so I'm gonna cross this off here. I'm definitely gonna get dancing. Dramatic tonal shift. I feel like the whole movie is dramatic tonal shift.
That's fine. Yeah.
So when there's dancing, I'm gonna get a second bingo. And there's gambling, I'm gonna get another bingo.
I don't have any of these good ones.
Well, he overreact at the pharmacy.
I picked a rotten sheet.
I wonder how long this scene took.
To film?
Yeah.
Is it all... I mean, so far it's all been one cut.
Yeah. I don't remember it being a one-er,
as
it were.
That's for the theater side.
There's a shot in Revenge toward the end that's like a really fucking long...
Dude,
long
okay.
Shot.
I know everyone... I resaw Black Panther. I liked it way more the second time, but everyone is going nuts about the casino one-er. I have to say, the Fabergé egg chase through the mansion and... Game Night is way better. That is the best.
You saw Game Night?
I watched it last night.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think you'll love it.
I love Winston from New Girl.
It's great. Fucking hilarious.
So my favorite actress, not Charlize, even though we're doing Charlize's podcast, is Rachel McAdams.
She's unbelievable in it. It's unbelievable.
She's so good in it. And the movie is the movie's funny. It's well directed.
It's
creative.
It's
dark.
It's got lots of twists and turns.
This is Kyle Chandler, right?
Kyle Chandler's
amazing,
yeah,
too, because
Coach
he's usually...
Ed Landry from Friday Night Lights.
And he's usually so serious. I was like, this is amazing. He's basically playing against type in this movie. Really
good. And Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams are together.
Super solid.
There is... So, do you watch... oh, God, what's it? The Rob Delaney show.
Crack pipe.
What's the Rob Delaney show? Catastrophe. Which is a British show that's also on Amazon here. It's him and Sharon Horgan, and she created, I think, Divorce. She is the older woman that the dum-dum brings.
Oh, she's great. The Scottish girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's in Catastrophe with Rob Delaney, which you should really see if you haven't seen.
This is amazing. This is the turn where they do crack together.
Yeah. I love Jesus Christ.
I remember how I was at
Is that religion or spirituality?
Of course it is.
I was having trouble.
It's his own religion.
We spent a lot of time on the podcast episode talking about this sequence in particular, and I was having difficulty.
Chris Nadiello was on this one, right?
Yeah.
This is one of his favorite movies. Mm-hmm. Favorite Cage movie.
This is one of my favorite movies in Nicolas Cage.
They basically go through every, like, sexual, like, who's in charge role here. Like, first Cage is in charge, now she's in charge. That guy's never in charge. Like, it's
I love when he starts
really
like, going,
crazy.
Yeah. Such a pervert. Remember about your father finding out?
Well, that's what's like so great about this movie, and even in the original Bad Lieutenant, is that they're about people who are unabashedly themselves. Like,
hold on. We've got to talk about what he's saying to this girl.
Did see him in the high school play,
as she's licking his face
and stroking his manhood.
If daddy saw you now smoking crack,
oh,
no panties,
her ass. Jeez.
And the guy's just taking it in the back there.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Still going. You get back here, you cuck.
You stay and watch.
You watch your fucking cover.
I mean, like,
oh my god, and the fade out.
I mean, the idea
there's no way to end that scene without a fade out. Like, there's no way you could,
that scene, like,
get out of
that. Yeah, that doesn't end. That just, you know, like, and that was one of those fades where it's like a long while later. It's like, I don't. I feel like that's the type of scene by the end of the scene. Like, you have, like, that, you know, they're tongue-in-cheek about it. Like, it starts off really dark and serious, but by the end, I feel like...
Oh, no, it gets... It, well,
it's ridiculousness.
It's... Oof.
I love the music in this movie, too. And there's this one shot of... I think it's this building, the building that...
Is this just that, like,
Ava
trombone or something?
Lives in. There's this, like, really, like, evil, ominous music playing at one point when, like, a storm is over. Like, over the city. That's awesome.
I wonder why I didn't leave his lights on this time.
I love how much Werner Herzog was...
I need the coat back.
Gates.
He's in so much pain. See there, he accidentally snorted heroin.
Oh.
This has one of my favorite moments of the movie in it.
Yeah.
When the guy looks over at the two of them. Heroin Cage is just like, I believe it 100%. I've never done it. I've never been around anyone on it. I've only seen it, like, portrayed in films. But I believe this is what it really is like.
Supposedly he was stone cold clean, like, when making this movie. Versus, what's his famous, the Vegas one that he's drunk all the time?
Leaving Las Vegas?
Yeah.
This shot.
It's fucking, the Dirty Harry gun that he has, that's just, like, most of it is hanging out of his pants in the front.
I can't get over... I just love the idea that the character accidentally did the wrong drugs. And it's just like he's trying to work through it.
But
he's
right,
like,
away he knows it, and then that's like when he was like, fuck!
And he's just not gonna... he's like not gonna let it, you know, ruin his day or anything. Like, he's still gonna try and sober up and get through this.
Wow. I just read the fan mail, the hate mail, and it's amazing. It's so good.
Send it to me later, maybe? I'll read it alone.
No, you can't read it out right now?
Well, it's not for this, but it's for Zack Attack.
Yeah, but...
No, I gotta save it for that. We're gonna do
more religion and spirituality.
We are gonna do a bonus episode soon. There was something we wanted to do. I don't remember what it was. Oh, we're gonna do his episode with Bear Grylls. He was on an episode with Bear Grylls.
Oh, cool, cool.
So there's a couple different.
He went out into the wild and tried to.
I think so.
Damn.
Did you watch the making of this movie?
No.
It's really good, and you know Werner Herzog is classic. You know, like the way he speaks and everything. So there was just a bunch of, you know, extras, like all these actors that are at this Haitian funeral, and the guy that's going around with the bottle and like blowing out the alcohol,
yeah.
Like, that is like part of like the culture in the funeral.
Yeah.
But he was like, when Herzog just goes up to him, he's like, "I will have you be the doing the ceremony because you're the most patriarchal looking figure here."
He could get away with it,
man. And the guy that like does it, like he just gives the most like, "Thank you."
I'm sure I'm far from the first person to make this comparison. We might have even done a thing, but like, I feel like he's just German David Lynch. Like, all right, this is my vision,
yeah,
and this
close.
Is what we're gonna do. And
it's more like, though, what he does is like, especially with the documentaries, which are just insane. Is
just the volcano
like,
one?
Yeah, like the volcano
or
one,
man.
Or the Grizzly Man, and all that stuff. Like, he's very. I feel like he's like bare bones. Like, it's just the facts with those documentaries and stuff. And then his movies are very, yeah, like Lynchian. But I think he gets away with a lot of that because he's just got, you know, different sensibilities, you know, like where he grew up, how he grew up, type of scene that he came up in and everything. Like, he didn't become a mainstream name.
It was
until
Grizzly
way
Man.
Later, yeah, and that was way late.
Only...
I don't think he's still not a mainstream.
No,
movie.
And he's been making movies since like the '60s. You know,
but I love that he was incorporated into like. There's enough people that are fan of him that he
Jack
makes,
Reacher.
That he makes a cameo in Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
and like I think it's the last season. He's like, and because he's watching over the haunted.
I mostly
the
knew him because I saw Rescue Dawn, the one about, and there's a documentary, Little Dieter Learns to Fly, and that's the one with Christian Bale, where he's lost in Vietnam.
Rescue Dawn was the first Werner Herzog movie I ever saw.
Yeah, so that's the first time I was aware of him, and then I went back, and I got this collection of him and Klaus Kinski, which was his, like, basically, like, De Niro and Scorsese was, like, Herzog and Kinski.
Yeah.
And they made a bunch of movies together, and I have that collection. I watched, like, those movies, and that's when I really got interested in it. I was like, holy shit, like, this guy is making mainstream movies now, and he's in the public eye and stuff, like...
Yeah. Rescue Dawn came out in 2006, and I was all on my, you know, Bale kick after Batman Begins came out in 2005, and...
Because that movie's insane.
And then also I found it... What's that?
Like a Lynch... Like, Lynch would... I feel like that's a movie the way Lynch would direct it, where it's like, this guy's in captivity, and he's got the most cheerful disposition.
Yeah.
It's like Life is Beautiful, you know? Where, like, you're in a concentration camp, but, like,
you're
so happy.
Steve Zahn is crazy in that movie.
Yeah.
And the way he, spoiler alert, gets killed in that movie is intense. But what really interested me, I saw that,
and then
I find out that he, you know, he made the documentary. I thought it was just so interesting that he makes this documentary, knows everything about this guy's life, and then makes the, you know, the narrative, like, feature, and, changes stuff.
Changes
like, okay, I made the documentary, now I'm going to make what I think maybe...
I think that's right, though, you know, because you want to...
Also, just want to say right now, Black Panther, young Forest Whitaker.
Sweet.
Oh.
Yeah. That's right. When I saw him on screen, I'm like, oh, Bad Lieutenant.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. Young Forest Whitaker makes an appearance in Bad Lieutenant.
I'm opening up this pack of Dark Crystal cards.
Oh, which I caught.
Is there a piece of gum?
The second time I watched Black Panther, I caught that they said that guy's actual name. Like, they say his Wakandan name in that opening scene.
Yeah.
But later, when they did the flashback, I didn't catch that, so I thought it was a reveal that little kid grew up to be Forest Whitaker. Or not little kid, but that gangbanger was actually Forest Whitaker in Wakanda. But they say his name.
Wait, I'm confused.
In the beginning of Black Panther, when the king goes to get his brother back,
and
the dude is there, and he's like, I'm actually a spy too.
Yeah.
He says his true name.
Yes.
And then later, when Black Panther does his ceremony, and Forest Whitaker's there, they call him by that name.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that, so later on in the movie, I thought it was a big reveal that Forest Whitaker was there when Black Panther's uncle got killed. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was supposed to be... I didn't catch the name.
Well, I guess, I mean, still, it is for most, but maybe it's like how the Dutch had an inkling that, like, Darth Vader was a dark father of sorts.
They knew from episode 4.
Yeah. Doc Faja. Aww.
I've only seen Dark Crystal once.
Okay, here we go.
Oh,
I've only seen this movie once.
Have you?
Yeah, Dark Crystal?
Yeah,
me too.
Jim Henson.
It's crazy.
This is Jen at Pod Village. This is The Swamp.
Yes, exhibit. Sorry.
Raptor.
Dude, I keep forgetting people in this movie. Yeah,
Kira
Raptor turned
Chamber
actor.
Of Life. Yeah, I don't really know this movie well enough to actually care about this, but I'm just looking at the pictures now.
Well, let me read the back of one of these Superman cards. I bet a Lois one. Where's the Lois?
The Lois, Lois on Vacation one.
Yeah.
These are cool.
Off on vacation. Even the greatest reporters need a little time off. Lois Lane intends to soak up the Bermuda sun while on vacation. Jimmy Olsen, meanwhile, will accompany Clark Kent on his trip to Smallville. Continued on card 15 on the road to Smallville.
It's kind of crazy that now I'm just like looking at this, and this is the Dark Crystal cards, that is, and it's totally making me think of Hellboy 2. I'm like, oh yeah, Guillermo del Toro is a big Jim Henson fan.
Oh my god.
Right? Like, doesn't
dude, you just nailed it. Haven't they been wanting to redo Dark Crystal? Like, del
Toro
would be
great.
I think
so, but like, just like, look at, that's like, you know that like crazy, like, in Hellboy 2 when they go into the...
The guy with the wheelbarrow body or whatever?
Yeah, and just like that whole, like, back alley world.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where the troll under the bridge.
Before the tree thing happens or whatever. Yeah, the troll. But, like, just, like, look at that creature. That's totally...
Yeah.
Yeah. And that even, she kind of looks like the female character
in
Hellboy 2.
Oh, totally.
It's cool.
That was the name of the wife in Ready Player One. Right? That was her tag.
I see that still.
No, you don't. I'm just kidding.
It's a movie that I knew I was going to, like, watch.
Oh.
Once it, like...
I love
it's
it.
It's eye candy.
You love it. But he calls it, like...
I don't want to speak ill.
So I loved the book. Like, I loved the book. And I really liked the movie. Cage shaves. But not yet. That's a different thing.
I'm just going to shave. You're, like, getting ready.
I really liked the movie a lot, though. Because, like... everything I'd heard leading up to the movie was like, oh, look at this piece of shit, it's references, references, references. Then Mike's suddenly just like, oh, it's overload or whatever.
Yep.
And then I went and I was just like, oh no, this rules. Like, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be. And I love it. Like,
it was too much for
it's
me.
It's good. But then I read Ernest Cline's second book, Armada. I'm like, oh, this is the same thing. It's also Ender's Game. I'm good.
There's one part in the movie that there are these programs alluded to in the book where you like go into other movies and play the movie. And the way they did that in the actual movie really fucking bothered me. So I did not like that. That just put the rest of the movie in sort of a bad place. But hey, it looks expensive. And it's good looking. It's it's an eye spectacle.
I can't.
But I didn't get out of it what I would. So I'd say I would recommend like Speed Racer if you want like a crazy CGI thing.
Well, I'm not comparing it to anything else.
I no, I know,
Speed
but I'm just saying.
We love Speed Racer.
Yeah.
In this house, we respect Speed Racer.
Yeah.
Film Crit Hulk just wrote a thing about how it's like an underrated classic, and every time he watches it, he cries. Like, it just posted it this week. Like,
I mean, it's a great, fun family film.
I think it goes Matrix and then Speed Racer as far as the
Wachowskis.
Well, no, for me, it's
Jupiter Ascending.
No, it's the Matrix, and then it's Cloud Atlas.
Cloud
Atlas.
Yeah.
Then it's probably...
Love Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas.
Then Sense8.
I haven't watched that show yet. But
oh.
Then...
I just love it. It's freaking Cage.
So good.
God, it's all so good.
That guy's in stuff. I know that's the most random statement to say, but the one other white officer that was standing there next to Val. And isn't that... What's his big... What's like
the guy doing like a Guillermo... A Benny DT right now. He's doing like a Benicio del Toro. He's like, come on, Sonny. But he's been in The Faculty. He's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, Faculty. I'm thinking... Yeah, he had like a career when he was younger.
This is just... You just get like the two... You got the young, impulsive cop, and then you got Cage, who's been here for years.
This is when he starts...
Really sinking into it.
Chewing gum.
Yeah, I mean, my three least favorite Wachowski movies are the two Matrix sequels and Bound, and I still really like all those. Like,
I love those. Okay, so like the Matrix sequels I just thought were cool, but after we did those episodes with John, now they blow my mind. Like, because there's like an actual reason for all of this sort of like crazy violent, like, I don't know, it just all relates. Oh yeah,
this is
Chucky.
Worm Tongue, right? From Laura of the
Rings. Yeah, it's also
and then from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah,
Billy.
Yeah, but he's also the voice of Chucky the Murderous Doll.
Is he really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
What's
that
his name?
Sense.
What's the actor's name?
Brad Dourif.
Oh,
ooh, there you go.
Oh, yep. X-Files connection if you have it.
Oh, right, right.
Brad Dourif was in Beyond the Sea, which is the episode where Scully... I talk about this every time he comes on.
Yeah, I know.
He's also in another Cage movie.
The
he's
most
from
talked
Amos
about.
And Andrew.
Oh, that's right. He's in blackface in that movie.
He's in blackface.
Has there
in that
been
movie.
A Peaches reference?
Oh, I don't know.
No. I know the boy delivers groceries, and I was so trying to pay attention.
Here's a really weird thing. He's got a daughter who's an actor, and she's a really great actor. She's been in the last two Child's Play movies, and in the most recent one, Chucky takes over.
Yeah.
The last two are really pretty good. And the most recent one,
though, right?
No, it's all continuations. It's all continuing from, continuity, yeah. And in the latest one, though, she gets possessed by Chucky, so her dad's voice is coming out of her body at one point. It's really bizarre. It's so cool, though.
Oh, it's a Fiona Dourif, right?
Is that it? Okay.
So Brad Dourif was in Beyond the Sea. Did you watch The X-Files or no? You feel like, not really?
Yes, it is Fiona, I think.
And it was the episode in season one, I think, where Scully's dad dies. And Brad Dourif plays this guy in prison who basically is channeling Scully's father and calls her Starbuck, and it's very emotional. And I love The X-Files so much.
I love this shot because you get to see
the
Six Flags that's still closed down.
But it's also the girl from, I forgot she was in this
Fiona
too.
Fiona Dourif is in the now-canceled Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, which was really good.
Okay.
Even though it was created by Max Landis, who was a piece of human.
He turned out to be garbage.
Doo-doo.
That sucks. I had to unfollow him. I had to unfollow T.J. Miller. Like, I'm... Oh, man.
No.
Gore Burger is, like, the best show in the world, but...
Waterboy.
The Craft or Waterboy,
Almost
yeah.
Famous, hashtag PS I Love Hoffman.
That's great. You just listed three different movies starring her. Can anyone name her name?
God, I could.
Yeah, it's something really weird.
It is very...
Wait, do you know it? Or
no,
you know
no.
It?
If you said it, I'd be like, yeah.
There's, like, Z's in there.
Yeah, exactly.
She's so interesting. Like, she's very unconventional. I'm very upset she hasn't been in a much bigger star or something.
I find that sexy.
Oh, Bobby. She was in... Okay, if you watch the Island of Dr. Moreau, behind the scene... There's a documentary.
Richard Stanley's...
She's in it, too.
Lost Soul?
Yeah. So, she's in there...
Wait, I'm sorry. I love these shots. Crockham?
She was on Stanley's side. She was, like, one of the two people who wanted to walk off the set with him, but then was, like... sued to actually, keep doing the movie, I think, or something.
I don't want to look up her name. I want to get it.
Yeah, it's...
Her name is...
Oh, Crocodile Cam. So, they used a GoPro for this shot.
Was it a GoPro?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
On a stick. It's, like, on a stick. Yeah. And they just... Yeah.
It's like Mayim Bialik.
Yeah, it's a very unconventional name.
What a weird room.
A lot of religious... Is that the Pope with two children?
Sure looks like it. Is that the young Pope?
Oh, sexy Pope. Oh, is that Mr. T's room? Look at all the jewelry.
Oh, it's her place. I forgot.
She's got all the masks and stuff. It's almost like face
keeping
off.
It right and off the site.
She is aging well. She's still wearing the motorcycle
junk.
Boots.
I'm just gonna put my foot on your junk.
I gotta look it up. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, it's what she said. It's like
I had no idea that she was in her underwear in this movie.
He passes out on her, right? You're hot.
Oh, did he intentionally do the H?
Feruza Balk.
Feruza.
Yeah, there you go.
Feruza.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Yeah, I love all those, the crocodile shot, the one fish shot, all that stuff, the end scene in the aquarium, that was all, like, Herzog added that into the screenplay. Or actually the day of on a shoot sometimes. I love all the marine life, and even, do you ever see Cave of Forgotten Dreams? That takes such a weird turn. I felt like I was on drugs, but it was that...
His movies are like that.
Well, it was that combined with...
They're spacey.
I saw it at the IFC, you know, on 6th Ave in the Village, and it was a summer day, and the AC stopped working.
Oh, man.
So it was just, like, so sweat hot lodge in there. I think I, like, had, like...
Hallucinated?
hallucinated, and I'm, like, in and out, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's about the, like, oldest cave drawings found in France, and then all of a sudden it becomes about, like, albino alligators that are crocodiles.
It becomes about the creatures that live in the caves that...
Then there was, like, something to do with nuclear power plants.
Oh, yeah, it went off on a tangent for sure. But that's what he does. That's, like, and then he comes and he brings it back around. But, yeah, that documentary is amazing, just for the one line where he goes, no one has stepped where we are going in... Like, ever since these drawings,
in
like,
20,000
thousands of years ago, no one has seen what we are seeing, and it's like, holy shit, like, my mind, I can't even wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's on either Amazon or Netflix.
Remember when Netflix first popped on the scene?
Cave of Forgotten Dreams?
Netflix had, like, a lot of their streaming stuff was Herzog documentaries and things, because I guess they were fresh and they were looking for content anywhere they could get it.
But yeah, Brad Dourif back on screen. I really do like Brad Dourif a lot.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
Bar.
I love his slick back gray ponytail in this movie.
I just can't believe he's the voice of Chucky.
Gambling.
It's just amazing.
Once we get dancing, which we know is going to happen, I'm going to get two more bingos.
Jesus, you are on a roll today, my friend. I didn't get shit bingo. His character doesn't go by multiple names in this
movie. I don't
think
he's eaten anything yet.
Does he eat at all in this movie?
Does he eat cocaine?
He might eat drugs.
He is taking pills. Does that count? No.
No, that doesn't
count.
Oh,
yes, iguana.
Well, that guy I don't recognize.
Kyle, shoot him again. Soul still dancing.
Oh, is this when he's like, you guys see that iguana over there? And they're like, what are you talking about?
That is my laptop cover.
That's right.
Skin for my laptop.
I remember that.
I was just down in New Orleans like a month ago, and I just love the way that city looks.
There's two of them.
How
is it though?
Wait,
like,
what was your gel cover? Just this shot?
It's that shot right there.
It's that with him looking at them. Yeah,
iguanas, and then Val Kilmer. Wait, there is no iguana.
I wonder if Val's gonna be in Top Gun 2.
I don't think he's still doing that great. But it'd be awesome if he was.
It's so good. Like, it's just...
This movie is just weird enough and, like, fucking good enough that, like, they're able to get away with a lot of smaller, weirder moments. Like, I think that because this is such a good movie in general, like, it fits together really well.
Yes.
It's like... Well, Raising Arizona, sort of.
Yep.
And then that, like, soulful, bluesy song coming in.
We got a Guanacam.
Yeah.
Cage sort of gritting his teeth, smiling.
Real dirty
lens. This is the shot I have. I don't think it's both. It's that. It was the one that's the one. It's just the green one? Iguana and the shot from...
It's as if they're singing.
Yeah.
The iguana when that one opened its mouth.
Yeah. I love it.
It's so extended.
We have a J.J. Abrams...
Lens flare. J.J. Abrams does not have the balls to do anything like this in any of his movies.
Episode 9.
I'm not shitting on him. I'm just saying, like, he's a very specific type of director. He wants to be.
Remember,
Spielberg?
We just had that whole interview with the Burger and Record people about how we're positive. It's like, down with J.J. Abrams.
I'm not saying down with J.J. Abrams. What are you talking about? You're making a mountain out of a molehill, my friend. I'm just saying, like. He would never think to do something like this. Is just the type of guy Herzog is. JJ does stuff.
There's
no way Werner Herzog could, like, you know, make a Star Wars movie. Like,
I would love to see that.
I would too, actually. David Lynch almost directed Jedi.
But then instead we got his actual
career. Spike Jones almost directed Attack of the Clones.
Well, instead of Jedi, he did Dune, I think, right?
There you go.
Spielberg almost did Episode 3, which would have been probably better. Spielberg actually directed some of Episode 3.
He wasn't allowed to direct Episode 6, though.
Why not?
Because it had to be someone that wasn't, like, in the DGA.
Right, yeah.
Why?
Because that was the whole thing. Lucas was kicked out of the DGA because he didn't allow credits before Star Wars.
Yeah, he's not in the guild, and, yeah, the reason your director's credit comes at the end of the movies now and all that. Right, so he said, all right, so technically Star Wars, while it's backed by a major studio, it's like more of like an indie film.
Huh.
Regarded as.
Very interesting.
Oh.
And number two, the guy who directed the second one was Irving Kirshner.
Wait, sorry. This is two movies in a row where somebody was hiding in the closet.
Girl
in The Wicker Man.
I mean, that's an armoire, but...
No, but the girl was in the armoire, too. Like, she was in, like, a dresser. She like, fell out and pretended she was dead and then was, like, laughing about it.
Or is that a wardrobe? A Lion, Witch, and a Wardrobe?
What was I just saying?
Were you C.S. Lewis?
I don't know where I was when you cut me off. I'm going to have to pause this and rewind.
Yeah, let's play it back.
Oh,
talking about Star Wars.
Irving Kirshner. That was he had directed movies before and stuff, but he was like Lucas's Tobin. It was like his major film professor that like taught him just about everything he wanted to know.
So in history, there was us and Tobin.
there was George Lucas and Kirshner.
And there was Aristotle and Plato.
Yeah. That's it. Those are the big
three. Socrates and Aristotle or whatever.
I think it was did she text it to me or was it on Facebook? No, my aunt texted me an article before of how there's one of Saturn's however many moons there is, you know?
I think it has, like, eight, like
yeah. One of them looks identical to the Death Star, even with, like, where the laser comes out of
it. Oh, it has, like, a crater right at the right place.
Yeah, looks perfect. And then I was just like, wow, like, what? That's crazy. And then I started thinking, I'm like, George Lucas is an alien. And just never thought that, like, we were going to figure out that, like,
No, man, I mean, like, the Death Star is basically just, like, the moon. Like, our moon.
I know, but the fact that there's
a big crater in it.
That's no moon.
That's a space station. It's too big to be a space station. You just got an Alec Guinness and a Harrison Ford for me. Oh, yeah, that is very... Okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
I could name two of the moons of Saturn. Oh, no, those are Jupiter moons, sorry. Io and Ganymede. Because they're on The Expanse, which is a show that's going to get canceled if someone doesn't act fast. Come on, say Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Well, it's finishing out the season.
You're so happy about that, Joe. Oh, my God. Getting saved by NBC.
Someone will pick up The Expanse. It's too good.
Lorne Michaels was like, I think I'll save this show.
Well, they were already paying for it. They were producing it.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't air it, but
I think it's more like we're now in a culture where networks are like, oh, wait, we've got to listen to
we have to listen to social media.
They were here for a 13-episode finale. Like, I think it's probably, I don't think they're going to keep going. I think it's
no,
like
they're
going
to properly
more
season, end it.
Yeah.
That's although all this season was going to end with, spoiler alert, Jake and Amy's wedding, probably, so.
Was
oh, that's, she, oh my gosh.
Stifler's mom.
Yes, Stifler's mom, but I know why I can't, she's part
from
of
all the Christopher Guest
movies. Yeah, she's in like all the Christopher Guest movies. I can't remember.
Is she in another Cage movie? I mean, we already have.
No, no, but it's just another actor I didn't know was in this one. I keep
she's married to Jane Lynch in Waiting for, in The Best in Show.
Yeah, at the end again, yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Make my hips look fat. It's just some kind of weird.
I feel like her and Catherine Hahn should do a movie together. Like, they have the same sort of comic timing to
me. I mean, if they do, like, Bad Moms and Sisters.
Bad Sisters.
Because
that would be good.
Catherine Hahn and Susan Sarandon together are both amazing. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, they're mother and daughter. I like Bad Moms, too. It didn't have quite the impact the first one did because it wasn't new, but, like, you know, they did what they could for a Christmas... They made it a Christmas movie. I think that was smart.
That's what I
that came
like
out in September.
It came out in September, but it was still smart to be like, all right, we know we don't have enough for a full Bad Moms 2, so we have half a Christmas movie and half a Bad Moms movie.
And then one scene of her waxing her true love's asshole.
That's how she's like a, works at like a salon and stuff, and she gives waxes and stuff, and
when
she's like, finally a guy comes in.
She works at a salon in Legally Blonde.
Oh, that's all right.
What's, did you find her name?
Oh, I'm slow as hell. You should know that. When we look stuff up, it's like
I'm slow as hell. I'm Joey.
By the next, by the next movie, at least I'm not corny as well. go this way.
That dad's also in a lot of stuff. That actor.
I think her name is Jen. Is it Jen? Maybe it's not Jen.
Yeah,
sounds about right.
Yeah,
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah,
boom.
But Jennifer, not Jen.
What?
But that's another instance of, like, why would you...
Her friends call her Jen.
Like, you would never think to cast her in this role as, like, a battered woman that lives in New Orleans that's super poor, right? Like, you always call her for the comedy stuff.
Is this,
but she's amazing in that role.
Mrs. Gosling.
Bad timing.
Fuck you.
She looks amazing.
She's gorgeous.
She always looks amazing.
She get to see her boobs in Training Day.
Yes, you do. That's got Denzel in it, right?
Or
King Kong's got
Denzel
nothing.
That was the best. I can't believe
that's not Denzel.
I can't believe that was the stinger at the end of the credits.
It's so good though.
I know. What? I think it was good, but
it's
I couldn't believe that was like of all the. I was glad that was the stinger, but I couldn't believe that that was going to be the callback. I definitely thought they were going to be like, you know, the movie ends with them like. Pans out from the window, and you see the robbers going into, like...
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be, like...
That
was going to be the stinger, and they were going to get lazy and do, like...
Denzel needs to be in a superhero movie, by the way.
Most people say they already know my name, but...
He's a superhero in every movie he's in.
Yeah.
The Equalizer is essentially...
Especially Flight.
In the Val... What's the one where he...
The Equalizer, he's basically a vigilante crime fighter.
The second one, they're
there's the one with Mila Kunis in the future where he has the Bible.
Yeah,
that's kind of superhero-y.
No, but I'm just saying he needs to be, like, straight up, like...
Right.
Black Panther 2. Like...
I don't want to spoil anything for Ant-Man 2, but there's a role that would have been perfect for him in that went to Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the trailer, and I was like, oh.
But Larry Fishburne.
No, Larry's great.
Yeah.
Of course, it's going to work for that, too.
Yeah.
I call him Larry.
We're on a nickname basis with him over here.
Bobby De Niro.
Bobby D.
Come
on.
Partner.
But Larry Fishburne going all the way back to, you know, Rumblefish.
Oh, my God, yeah, Rumblefish with Uncle Francis.
And also Halloween 2? He's in Halloween 2. He's a nurse, I think, in Halloween
2. No, that's Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Apocalypse.
The Dream Warriors.
Oh,
is he? Because he's definitely in Dream Warriors.
Is his first movie ever, Apocalypse Now?
Apocalypse Now, he's 15 on the boat.
Yeah, look up Halloween 2. I'm pretty sure he's a nurse or a scrub.
That's amazing. I wonder if he's the same character and just, like, went from Freddy to Jason.
So I signed up for Dream Warriors for your podcast. Is that the gay one or is that not the gay one?
No, that's part 2.
Oh, the gay one is so good.
I know. That's probably the best. It might be the best one. I mean, never has a stronger metaphor in a horror movie ever been made than that one.
Yes.
And listen, in case you're not really sure what I'm talking about, it's the most homophobic, or not homophobic,
not homophobic, homoerotic
undertones of the entire movie. Like, it is just, like, openly, like, there's no gay stuff that happens, but it's like...
Well, there's one part where his gym teacher takes him to, like, a biker club and then makes him shower in the gym locker, and then Freddy kills the...
Well, I realized when I did Resident Evil Extinction, I hadn't seen the first one or Apocalypse in years, that I was like, maybe I should rewatch... Like, that's why your show is more homework for everybody. Like, you kind of have to watch...
I know, sorry, guys.
You have to read a whole book.
That actor's in Treme. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. A little New Orleans flavor.
Well, just like, I'm surprised that there hasn't been any crossover with The Wire, because it feels like this should be ripe with actors in The Wire, you know what I mean? Like, we could have Downtown Clay Davis.
Yeah, that guy is almost, what's the really smart detective that does... Like, is into the, like, wiretaps and everything. Like, I know that it's called...
Oh, Freeman. That makes Freeman? The furniture?
Yeah, Freeman, yeah. Like, that could be Freeman.
So the guy who plays Clay Davis is in Goodfellas. He's Michael's doctor at the very end when Henry goes to pick up Michael. The guy who plays Clay Davis in The Wire. He's in Goodfellas. He's his Michael's doctor at the end of the movie when Henry's running around like crazy.
Michael Corleone, right?
No, Michael Hill. Yeah. He goes to pick up his brother, and he goes, by the time I got there, the doctor wanted to put me in the... And he gives him a pill. He says, and there's one shot. He's got one line. He says, take this.
But was Treme created by David Simon? It was, right?
Yeah.
Was it not? Yeah. So there probably was a lot of crossover between The Wire and that.
Oh, just, there was so much. There's so many.
Yeah, Carcetti or whatever. He was in it, right? And then he went on to be Littlefinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tommy Carcetti.
Yep.
Carcetti for mayor.
Dana Carvey is in Halloween 2 as assistant.
Sure.
Still going through. I don't see Lawrence Fishburne.
No?
I'm going to have to go to his filmography. I'm looking through the Halloween.
There's a chance I'm getting it wrong.
Maybe you meant Dana Carvey?
No.
Apparently there's a really good documentary about the Dana Carvey show on Hulu. I watched a clip yesterday on Twitter, and made me laugh my ass off.
I'm looking. Rumblefish, Cotton Club.
No, what the Airbender Biloxi.
Oh, no, maybe I am thinking of Dream Warriors. Right. Oh, no, because he's in the hospital in that?
Yeah.
He's credited as Larry Fishburne, okay.
And he's got, he's in the first half of the movie, and then he just kind of disappears. But okay. It's obviously him.
Because I knew it was a movie that I saw at Terror Tuesday, and I saw all the Nightmare on Elm Street sequels, and I saw Halloween 2 there. So I just confused myself.
So, because there was some story, I don't remember, maybe it was John Singleton.
Doing the drugs.
While driving.
The dog's in the back and the kid, he thinks the kid's asleep next to him.
There's some crazy story about how, you know how Lawrence Fishburne was Cowboy Curtis on Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
I remember listening to some director saying, watching that and saying, I'm going to work with him one day. I think it was John Singleton, and they ended up making a movie together, and it was all because of, Pee Wee's Playhouse, Cowboy Curtis and stuff. So, I don't know. I wonder what that
is. Is this the, what's Boardwalk Empire, whoa guy?
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah.
This part's amazing. Yes, for sure. This is what gets Cage in deep.
He's been in so many more movies. He started really collaborating with, And so it's like him and Michael Shannon have been in every one of this director's films. I'm not going to be able to name the one. Take Shelter.
Yeah.
And then Mud.
Mm-hmm.
And who's that director?
We talked. He's your favorite director. Don't look it up.
Because he did.
Loving, and he did that weird sci-fi one
with the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Tomorrowland. Right.
No, it was. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Don't look it up, Kyle.
Mike Nichols.
No, Jeff Nichols.
Jeff Nichols. Yes.
Mike Nichols is his dad.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we knew that. We talked about that.
Did we?
Yeah.
I forgot all about that.
But he's in all of them.
Yeah, what's the alien movie? The kid? Midnight Special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still got to rewatch that. We saw that in theaters with Brian. And then we spent an hour in the parking lot, trying to figure, discussing it, trying to figure it out. And then we were all like, let's not do this at 1 in the morning in the parking lot. Let's all go home and talk about this some other time.
I saw that also at a draft house, and I got for free a 7-inch single of the, album.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Lucky Duck. This is a great Cage face.
Yeah.
I love this guy's attitude back to him. It's just like,
you know who I am?
You wish you were born without a dick.
Whoa.
Oh, whoa, big mistake. We were doing, it was on one of the Joe 2 podcasts, where we were playing a Letterboxd game, and there's a Jeff Nichols movie in there, and you can remember his name. I was like, Mike, this is one of your most, you know, one of your favorite modern directors.
Adam Driver's in it. He's like, it's like, about Adam a kid.
Michael Shannon's in it. Kirsten Dunst is in it.
There's like, a weird kid.
You're like, I've seen this movie?
You're like, I got it. You sure?
I look, he reopens. Look at his slick back.
That's just great. Keeping up the illusion.
Daryl, this is Frankie.
Yeah, he's really falling into it now.
Hi, Daryl.
He's getting, it's like, I mean, I know this is pre-master, but this is like Joaquin Phoenix talking out of the side of his mouth.
You mean Popeye?
Yeah, Popeye. Yeah.
I might have found a contender for Popeye performances in film, and that's De Niro in Men of Honor.
Hashtag Watch the Throne.
Because he's in the Navy. Yep. He's got the tattoos. He's got the same tattoos, but they're here.
Well,
he's got huge forearms. He winks the whole time, and he smokes a pipe.
I've got a really good one, and it's Robin Williams
in Popeye.
In Popeye, directed by.
Oh fuck!
Who directed by Popeye?
No, oh god, I know the.
Wasn't
director.
It like John Huston or someone it's stupid? It's someone
like really ridiculously talented.
You can look this one up because it's not an on the fly. It's someone like that shouldn't be, has no business directing Popeye, like should really be
Stanley
going.
Stanley Kubrick.
No.
But it has What's Her Name from The Shining in it.
It does.
Oh yeah, doesn't he like lose like 10,000?
Robert
000?
Altman.
Altman, see? Yeah.
Network and then Popeye.
Yeah, you know.
Doesn't he lose like $10,000 in this movie and then like he gets bailed out Deus Ex Machina at the end?
Yep. Wait, the best Deus Ex Machina in any movie. Even when God literally shows up at the end of movies, this is better.
Wait, did I say it?
The kid ran away.
Mix up the two. I always
what between the director you
between
just
Network
said?
And Popeye.
He did Nashville. I always say the one when I'm like obviously I know the difference.
What's the song that fucking song in that
but
movie?
I always say Network when I want to say Nashville
for the next 100 years or some shit.
Guys, this is a real weird case. I can tell you that much.
Nashville's an amazing movie though, but you need like a day to watch that thing.
I haven't seen it. I own it. I have the Criterion.
It's about the Kennedy assassination. So just keep that in mind while you're watching a 3.5 hour conspiracy film.
Oh, I know about it. I know what it's about.
Okay.
You should watch it and then watch JFK.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so 7 hours, two movies, one story.
Intercut them.
Although that's like watching Dunkirk with Darkest Hour, because halfway through Darkest Hour, they do Dunkirk. He's like, now we're going to order the boats to go. And this is kind of like where he takes the prostitute to Chuck E. Cheese in Frozen Ground.
Because the kid runs away.
You mean the prostitute, Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, Vanessa Hudgens.
From Star of High School Musical.
Playing a dirty hoe.
Wait, she's in this movie?
No, yeah, she's in Frozen Ground, and John Cusack ends up kidnapping her and locking her up in his basement and dismembering her.
Awesome.
The star of the three High School Musical movies with Zeff, star of Spring Breakers.
She's great.
She's very attractive.
So the kid took off.
Yeah.
She wears her sunglasses at night
So she can hide the bruises, right?
Well, yeah, of course. But I was just singing that song.
Oh, is this where he rides the bus with the kid, and then like that's he's got to get
the kid.
I thought he ride the bus.
Doesn't, he's looking for the kid now.
Yeah.
The kid might be on the bus.
And he never finds him again.
He does, and then he finally ends up over in England. I remember that the kid
with his grandma.
Yeah,
okay.
The rich white woman has family there.
Yeah, and that's when he closes the door while he's shaving his face to intimidate them.
Oh my god, that's right. The nursing home visit.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do really wonder if anybody's listening to this, A, number one, at all, but B, if they have not seen the movie and they're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? Because we're talking about the movie, but like, none of it relates to it. Like, it's just so... It's almost like... It's like a sort of like a series, like a TV show. Like, it's... Like, there's, like, a through line, but it's more, like, just sort of in the...
What a shot.
There's just no rhyme or reason.
I do like that he's walking by, you know, prostitutes. Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Have I gotten any new things yet on, like, Cage Club Movie Bingo? He hasn't been shirtless. There's no holiday setting. He hasn't... I don't think he's cried. I think he cries at the end. He doesn't have a visible tattoo.
Cage is behind that door.
Oh my god, that is the...
Look at that!
Cage Chase. So, Lindsay Gibb, who wrote the book National Treasure, Nicolas Cage, who's the co-host of Winona Forever, who's been on a bunch of our podcasts, that shot is her Twitter cover photo, and has,
it
been,
has been
for 3 years at least.
Since I've known her, yep.
Yeah, it's still this guy. I just looked at her profile this week.
And she was the one that brought it to our attention about how much, just how much Cage shaves in film.
I wonder if we taught her anything. I don't think so, but maybe she's, not.
I don't know if there's anything we could teach her. She seemed like she knew
well, she still
what we
seen
knew.
Everything.
Okay, that's right. She still hasn't seen everything, but I feel like we haven't been able to stump her yet.
Has she had the pleasure of meeting him?
No. She met Marco, whereas we talked to him on the phone.
So Cage, when...
I love it.
Oh my god.
I think I'm going to try and get a screenshot and make that my PlayStation 4 wallpaper.
I think he's becoming
wallpaper.
A peach.
He's when, becoming the peach?
Yeah.
When Cage has a new movie premiere at Toronto, at TIFF, I think it plays two nights, and he went to one, and she went to the other, so she was close. She didn't see him, though.
Didn't you... It was... You didn't go to South... But, or what was it? You.
So I went to South by Southwest. He was supposed to be there, but he was sick. Uh-huh. For the trust, but and then at
Caged
4,
yeah,
which was, so the problem with Caged when I was down in Austin was that it was always during CES, and I was always in Vegas for work, and so the year that I moved back, they had it in, like, May, and I moved back in March, and he was there, so, like, I could have gone, and I would have gone, but he wasn't,
extenuating circumstances,
but instead, we got to talk to Greg McLennan about it on the Mom and Dad episode, which is a good episode.
So, yeah, but I guess Jamie Tear is still the closest I've gotten to meet Cage, whereas I've met...
Oh, no, Greg McLennan.
But I met Jamie in person and, like, shook her hand and stuff, and, like, she actually...
Shuck and jived?
Shuck and jive. Shook her hand, and, like, we've hung out and stuff.
Jesus
so, like,
Christ. He's not... Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're, like, we're 1 degree in a bunch of different ways. Or two degrees, I guess. We're
so
Marco and Greg and you with Jamie and...
I passed Philip Seymour Hoffman on the street one time.
Did you recognize him?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously...
He was on the other side of the street.
I guess you wouldn't be telling the story if he didn't recognize
him. He was on the other side of the street, and it was like, you know, West Village, and just very...
nice sighting.
Disheveled look. I mean, it was before he...
So, when I was...
Oh, can we just talk about how the Cage just called the 80-year-old woman a hard C?
Fuck, Docs.
He hates everything they represent.
This is like a
then,
real
what,
Get Out situation.
Up, her son is a senator or something, right? The old lady?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love all the, like, you know, it's him and all these, like, side stories that obviously are woven together. But then
well, that's what I'm saying.
Each one he makes an enemy, and then obviously as we know in the end, just how it just, like, gets...
Everything worked out perfectly for him.
Well, because that's what I was saying, because, like, if you're just listening to this, like, the movie makes sense, but it's just, like, a lot of, like, he just is doing things on a day-to-day.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're right, like, making enemies throughout New Orleans, throughout
it's
the country.
It's almost in... It's not, like, at all, but it, like, falls into the, like, a Big Lebowski inherent vice.
Oh, yeah.
That there's, like, these weird, like, side things, and they end up tying together in, like, a conspiracy of sorts, but not real. You know what I'm saying? It's just... It's not, like, a brilliant spiderweb story of him putting together clues. He's just having these interactions.
Like, did we watch something like... I feel like we watched something that was like that, like Lebowski-esque, but, like, it's right. It's more of, like, a noir... Kyle, where, like, it's about the character and his day-to-day stuff or threads of his life, and just he's going to run into weird people and everything. I feel like I watched something recently and I wanted to say, oh, it's kind of like Big Lebowski, but now I can't remember what that was. I have to go back.
Who's the worst detective? Him and this, or and when I say, I mean, like, bad at doing their job. Him or Gosling in The New Guys?
Oh, Gosling is
Gosling's
a great detective.
So
no, but I'm saying, like,
nice,
his daughter's
nice, nice
guy, the worst detective.
Oh, he's the better worst detective in my book.
Okay.
Because he's got Nancy Drew as a sidekick, and then he's got, yeah.
Yeah, she's in Spider-Man.
Is she?
Oh, yeah.
Homecoming, yeah. She's in charge of, like, the news. She
Betty Brant.
She is, yeah, she's Betty Brant.
So, ultimately,
she's the one that
she could be
Banks is.
Cap. Some white cat? Black cat?
I don't know.
Black cat.
Yeah, black cat.
Apparently I'm going to do that movie for
Congressman, sorry. I don't know the difference between
Senators. Oh, yeah, because it's a high school movie.
Well, there's hundreds and hundreds of Congressmen.
No, I'm just...
you don't remember the difference. Okay, yeah. Yeah, but your buddy Brian sent me the list of movies I signed up for his podcast, and I was just like, I don't remember doing any of these, but like, yeah, I'll do all of these. Because he sent me the list, and I was like, oh, right, Last Picture Show. And Brian's like, yeah, I've never seen that. I'm like, you should. And I was like, I bet Tobin would do that with me, and Tobin would. And then I also sent him the rest of my list. He's like, oh, he's like, my friend directed Spectacular Now, so we're going to do that one too. So, cool.
Yeah, with Brian sending out for Slumber Party, I was like, oh, I clicked a decent amount. He's like, you clicked the least out of everybody. I'm like, oh, okay, I thought I was...
I probably did like... 25.
Yeah,
I did a bunch, but I didn't want to get too greedy.
Because I did a bunch, and then I send to Brian, I'm like, look, here's three tiers. Here's the ones that I really want to do, here's the ones I would like to do, and then here are ones, like, I picked seven, and I'm like, I've already talked about these, because we did a bunch of Keanu, a couple of Zac Efron ones, and I was like, if you want to have us on again, we could do it that way, but...
Yes, he's waiting there for him. Ned Excellent.
Here were the ones that I want to do the most. An Education... Easy A, Election, It Follows, Lady Bird, The Edge of 17, The Last Picture Show, and Spectacular Now.
I can only remember two I signed up for: Rock and Roll High School and Class of 1984.
Oh yeah, because remember, we both picked a bunch, and he's like, yeah, you guys had like zero overlap, like it was all like completely different. And
then but I don't know what else I picked.
My second tier was Chronicle, Clueless, Dazed and Confused, Dope, Friday Night Lights, Grease, Heathers, Juno, Rebel Without a Cause, Spider-Man: Homecoming, Blindside. Last American Virgin, Spider-Man.
Jesus. I gotta fucking pick a lot more now.
I honestly don't, like, remember which ones I picked. Obviously, well, it was on...
Coming Soon, The Third Time's a Charm, Return of the Jedi.
Yeah,
but before that, I think we might have to do this.
Oh. I really want to see that movie again.
But do you want to read this book?
No.
Folks, we're talking about XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
Look how hunched over he is now.
He's in pain.
Because this is at the point where he gives the least fucks, but everything is going well, is going to go well for him.
Yeah, this is the like dark cloud.
Is this his Dark Night of the Soul?
It's close. Like, oh no, we're a ways off.
No, we have a long time to go.
No, but I love this, like the music, and then boom.
Yeah, the dark skies and it's all very reflective.
This is it's kind just, of like it makes me think like Twin Peaks sudden, reference. Like, Lex Luthor is going to be in like one of those buildings. Yes.
That's the guy whose soul won't stop dancing.
Get closer. That guy.
Oh my gosh. Love how there's Denden.
It's not just Kate. He has visible tattoos.
Yeah, okay, I have that
Samoan cage.
The Rock cage.
That's that big forehead. That's the best. It's like, better hide the baby oil. Better hide that big ass forehead. The end of Fast 6.
I still haven't seen 8.
Oh, okay.
8's not great.
It's okay. It's just the newest, the most recent one.
Hashtag justice for Han.
8's not great. Hashtag 8 not great.
The Theron.
She does not look happy.
No.
No. Nor should she be.
No, not at all.
Did he whore her out for this? He did, right? Or no?
I don't think that's what's up. I think he's just saying, hey, remember the guy you saw with your girl? Well, look what I did to your girl. And now he's just trying to let Cage know he's in control.
Like, there's a chance when we watch Fate of the Furious in a month and a half. Actually, yes, this is coming out like in, like, you know, a couple days. It's my least favorite movie of the bunch.
Number 7?
8.
Oh, 8. Wait, you did 7 already?
No, 7 is
right
in 3 weeks, but this comes out on June 26th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I get confused about this. That's why we're trying to do these a little closer to release dates.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, we do 2 and we're a month ahead. You know what I mean? Like,
don't shoot the dog.
Man, don't shoot the dog.
Did you just say pun him?
Yeah.
Awesome.
But isn't that usually a term of, like, endearment that
like a grandmother would use? That,
yeah. So why is he calling her a
Is he supposed to be Italian?
I think he's supposed to be like from the bayou or something.
No, he's. No? I mean, there's a very famous restaurant down there that because Al Capone sent a lot of people down there.
Yeah, he looks like
Al Capone. Yeah, he does look a little like a good fella.
Italian population.
You know what gives it away? The blazer, the black shirt,
the marinara red blazer.
Literally everything about his appearance.
Well, I mean, so Cage is wearing, like, kind of a Goodfella suit, though, you know, like the shiny tie and everything, but he doesn't look a thing like a gangster.
He's kind of got that same posture that he did in Vampire's Kiss.
Yeah, he is pulling that a little bit.
Well, because for that, didn't he very much, like, derive from, like, Nosferatu and stuff? That whole
Not only that, but, like, mentally ill people and just people with disorders and stuff.
Oh, the movie's so good.
Yeah, you've seen that, right, Kyle? Vampire's Kiss?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
A, B, C, D.
That's my review on Letterboxd. It's just wrote A through Z. It's got like four
A
likes.
Through Z.
She's like the biggest, most beautiful eyes. I'm sorry for saying that when she's crying after being beaten and like putting eyeliner on. But
I thought she was maybe brushing her teeth because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I have a fetish for women brushing their teeth. I found that out during Seeking Justice. Or maybe I just like watching January Jones brush her teeth. One or the other. Fetish is also a strong word. She's just very pretty. I don't know if the bottom line.
Yeah, that's.
She's very hygienic.
Shape of Water.
Nothing turns
What's
my
this?
Clean mouth.
The Shape of Water. She's in that, January Jones.
No?
Yeah? Right? Yeah.
No.
Isn't she Michael Shannon's wife in that movie?
No, the girl who takes her tit out?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Cool.
I think the guy from A Serious Man plays two roles in that movie. I can't confirm it.
Yeah, you said that before. Yeah,
I think he plays two people.
I
don't think so. Is this his dad?
No, yeah. She hasn't been in a movie since Climate Change Deniers Anthem.
She's raising babies. She's raising little goslings.
No, I'm talking about January Jones.
Oh, sorry.
Because she was on 4 years or 5 years of Last Man on Earth. Like, she's been on TV, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, she's on Last Man?
It's just this other woman.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
know. Lauren Lee Smith.
In the second or third episode, Will Forte runs into Kristen Schaal. He's like, let's get married.
I saw the first episode. Okay.
And then he's like, oh, finally with a person. Like, I want to lock it down. And then he finally, like, is there. And then literally, as they say that, January Jones runs. He's like, wait, never mind.
Oh, no. Michael Schulberg, Dr. Robert Hostler. Oh no, this is a totally different guy, David Hewlett. But they looked similar in the movie. I thought they were played by the same guy.
Let me see which guy you're thinking about.
Well, their IMDb pictures don't look alike at all. But basically, the Russian and one of the doctors, I thought that was a dual role.
Well, the doctor that was the Russian?
No, there's another guy at the facility too.
We're missing prime Jennifer Coolidge, Eva Mendes drug fight right now. And here's the feds to talk to Cage.
There's Coolidge again. Why did Coolidge and Mendes just have it out for each other?
Mike, that's literally what I just said. We're just missing a prime Jennifer Coolidge, Eva Mendes fight. You're like, why are they fighting? I don't know. Maybe
you're missing out on Joey talking about missing out on it.
Exactly. I'm too... steps removed, guys.
Jesus.
That last episode, you know, I took a lot out of me. What can I say?
Last episode was a good episode. This is a harder movie to talk about. I mean, it's a crazy movie, but it's like, you just want to watch it, because it's so watchable. If you're okay with, like, insanity and, you know, aggression and...
Well, I don't think those are... I mean, you know,
He just threw down the line, colored lady.
That's the least offensive thing he said. That's a terrible movie.
I feel like there's a lot of movies that don't include, like, you know, murder and grisly sex and death, and those movies suck.
Which do you guys like better, this one or Harvey Keitel?
I've seen the Harvey Keitel one once, and I hadn't wanted to rewatch it. I just think it's kind of like shock value to it, because it's Abel Ferreira,
right? Off on it, right?
Yeah.
And it's Abel Ferreira.
Yeah,
directing.
I wrote it down just because I didn't want to.
Wait, why are we talking about Harvey Keitel again? No, we were talking about this movie. He is a National Treasure. But no, we were talking about this movie, and that was between the recordings.
Yeah, yeah. But I like his other.
I wrote it down because I didn't want to say it, like, the wrong way. But he said they should all die in hell. Everyone involved in this movie.
Needless to say, he was pretty pissed.
And Werner Herzog was like, "I've never heard of you. I don't know your
name." Dude, who's never heard of like Thriller Killer, Miss 45?
Bad Lieutenant.
Oh, did you hear?
And he also didn't he do with Christopher Walken, King of New York? Like he's done shit.
Walken. Speaking of this week, did you hear that Ichiro has no idea who Tom Brady is?
What?
Who doesn't have an idea?
Ichiro.
Oh,
you know Ichiro. Do you know Ichiro?
Yeah.
Baseball player.
Yeah.
So apparently Ichiro, after he got 3,000 hits, I think Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson plays quarterback for the Seahawks, something like. He got from, he's like, Russ Wilson, you know, gave me this guy's number. He's like, who the fuck is Tom Brady? Just like.
Even I know who Tom Brady is. Like, I don't watch
you
football.
You're the best.
But that's funny. I was actually watching the game last night with my dad, and I was like, you know, to everyone else on the field, like, it's not like Aaron Judge is just another guy. It's not like he's a celebrity to, you know, anyone on the field. It's so, like, the whole perspective is skewed from.
There was actually a thing this week that there was a baseball writer, she wrote, I think it's Molly Knight, maybe? She wrote a book about the Dodgers a couple years ago, and she put on Twitter, she's like, who do you think is the biggest household name in baseball right now? And, like, there's not really a good answer.
You don't think it's Aaron Judge?
No. It's super regional. I don't think people outside the New York area know who Aaron Judge is.
Oh. I think they make a big deal out of him.
Yeah,
like, they,
I mean,
they use him a lot now, at
least,
promotion.
Making the playoffs last year, the whole all-rise stuff, I feel like.
I still don't think people actually know him. Like, he's up there, but I don't think he's... They basically settled on probably Bryce Harper. Do either of you know who Bryce Harper is?
I've heard the name.
I know the name, but I'm not... Like,
yeah, he's a...
Come on, you're a Moneyball.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why, like, if you don't know it, that's why, like, I'm asking.
What, Oakland A's?
Well, no. He's on the Nationals. We were just talking because, like, the Moneyball episode, I don't know if you listened to that, was just me
it's
and Brian
like
talking
I'm
about baseball.
It's not like I'm
no, you're not
clueless
like,
about
you're not
baseball.
Like
it is just that Joey and Brian
are into it.
Hugely into it. Brian still is just, like, one of the most, like, if I was ever on, like, you know, like a phone-a-friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just levels of random stuff that he's into.
I really, like, came and went with baseball. Like, I was super into it for so long, and then there was, like, about a 4 or 5 year stretch where I wasn't into it, and now I'm back into it.
I've started following it closely because of my nephew, who's 8 and can name everybody on every team, basically, right now, and it's just putting me to shame. So I feel like, you know, I got to keep up. Baseball's always been a huge sport in my house. Like, my dad watched it. I'm the only one that just never really clicked with watching sports.
But, like, I love the Giants. I can talk to Giants.
New York football Giants.
New York football Giants. Brian is not, like, you know...
he's on the football?
I mean, no, he'll...
He's in the football how you're in the baseball. Like, you understand...
I mean, no, but still, the Yankees are my team. He does not have a team. Sure, he will root for, like, New York teams.
Okay.
He will school me any day of the week on New York, like, stuff. It's
gotcha.
Just, it's, yeah.
So Michael Shannon only had that one role at the, when he stole the Coke or whatever? Was that it? Or is that coming up now where he steals the Coke? Or is that a whole other movie?
No. This is, he has the small, he's in charge of all the... Yeah, right.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, he was the evidence
guy.
He has,
like, two scenes in this movie.
Look at him trying not to be seen by the cameras. If I do it this way.
Yeah.
Would you consider this a workout?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Just kidding. I almost crossed off for Wacky Wardrobe his $55 cotton briefs.
Actually, for his character, just, like, walking down the street is probably a workout.
I still don't remember him eating.
Standing upright, probably.
Yeah, I don't think he's done this whole movie. He's all hunched.
I still don't recall him eating anything.
I don't think he has.
Like, there's no magic or mysticism.
Well, there kind of is. I mean, when the soul dances, I'll cross it off.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get another one. No, I'm not going to get another bingo there. I thought I was going to.
There hasn't been a voiceover.
Nope.
Helicopter possibly in the background of the crime scene, but I didn't see anything.
I don't think so. I feel like there's just nowhere for a helicopter to land in New Orleans. Like, if they just, you know, it wouldn't make sense.
It would have to be one of those pontoon ones, like in Lake Placid. That Oliver Platt.
Like a J.W. Stillwater situation.
There hasn't been a montage. Maybe, Cage hasn't been shirtless. There's no holiday setting. Like, I'm just not, like, going to... Yeah. Oh, I will get it once, magic mysticism. And Albia.
Exhibit.
And maybe he cries, but that won't make me get another bingo.
Does he cry, or does he not cry in this movie?
I think he cries at the end. And he, like, and his little laugh. I think a tear runs down his face.
Like when the Native American saw you throw that piece of litter out the... Is that racist?
No, because that guy wasn't even a Native American. He was an actor playing
a
Native American.
So it is racist, okay.
Yeah.
Everything's racist.
From the like that PSA in the 70s, and then they did it in World War II.
Yeah, that's right. Don't worry.
We're cleaning it up. We're picking it up. We're cleaning. I love that movie. Wayne's World 1 and 2
are amazing.
Is hilarious, and the, like in the sense
I still
that
haven't seen them.
The first one is unbelievably great.
I always say this, but Brian and I's favorite DVD menu of all time.
Oh, Wayne's World 2?
Wayne's World, because it's the.
It's the Aurora like cable television channel network. And you pick the show.
My favorite DVD menu of all time, I don't think this is ever a conversation I'm
going to
have. Yeah, Fight Club. Have you seen the Fight Club Blu-ray menu? It's never been kissed, and then it like basically, it's not like a fist punches through, but like it just becomes the Fight Club menu on the Blu-ray. It opens up as never been kissed.
I wonder how they got the rights to do that. I mean, probably same studio and everything, but still.
I mean, there's no downside to it.
No, yeah, because if you're watching Fight Club now, you know about this other movie.
But yeah,
which isn't a terrible Jimmy Fallon movie. No, not Jimmy Fallon. It's Drew Barrymore. Sorry,
I think it's in the first Wayne's World where he.
How do you confuse the two of them?
Because they were in that Red Sox movie together, and we were just
Beaver
talking
bitch.
Baseball. So, I'm sorry, Kyle.
No, I think it's in the first Wayne's World where he's just like, you know, Star Trek: The Next Generation, which as far as people Tring. Will never be as, you know, like revered as the original or whatever. And then you get Wayne's World 2, which is. Quite possibly superior to the first
to the original.
Walken's a bad guy, and I love Kevin Pollak is in it, and where they're getting the permit, and he's like, and he's got the glass.
Cross the T's and dot the lowercase J's. I like it, but I just feel like it relied a little too much more on parody than the first one. Like, the first one felt a little more full of its own ideas, and the second one was, like, riffing on pop culture. Like, there's a Jurassic Park gag, there's a T2 gag, but it's still good. Don't get me wrong.
No, the first one is Terminator.
No, it's Is it the first? Okay, the first one has Terminator.
Yeah.
Second one has that, and then
looking at the
but it does have one of my favorite moments when he stops at the gas station and he's like, "Where's the church?" And this guy starts explaining it. And he's
Gordon
like, "Whoa,
Street.
Stop the movie! Can we get a better actor to do this part?" And they bring
Charlton Heston
in for like one line, and Mike Myers is like crying after. As much as I hate Chuck Heston, like that
Gordon
was a great
Street.
Gag.
Chuck Heston, Bobby De Niro. Who are you today?
You know, I'm Joe Familiar.
Chucky Hess.
Here we go, Cage.
Does he pimp his ride in this movie?
Remember that show, Pimp My Ride?
That's why I brought it
Man,
up.
Man, those poor kids.
Were they, like, embedded original Xbox consoles into a lot of cars
that are
suddenly worth nothing?
I wondered about that show. It's like, did they just take
Xbox
those kids'
console, yeah.
own like Xbox and put it into their car without telling them?
That's like, you know, my boss always talks about how like when smart, like you have a smart house, like don't build around technology because like there's so many houses now that have like an iPad 1 in the wall.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, well, what are you gonna do with that? Like it's been outdated for years. Like you're gonna like you have to like completely remove the wall to
take
it out.
That's why it's good to have like your Alexas and all that kind of stuff now because at least they're.
That's the future. Is just. You'll just be talking to your house, and it'll do everything.
I went on a bar crawl in Copenhagen back in December, and the tour guide, her name was Alexa. We were all like, Alexa.
Does anybody have?
Does anybody have
two people disposable body,
body
behind
in the background
while conversation?
No. I have a friend Alexa from high school, and on Facebook she posts all the time how like she has to like. Someone's got to change the name to the Alexa device because it's driving her crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, well, no. I mean, you can change the wake word on the device.
It's
if she
like,
has the device.
Oh, I think it was
like
someone
like
explained to my boyfriend how to change the name.
Well, it's like for some time, like, South Park ruined my name of Kyle. There was just like a whole...
I hate
like,
you, Kyle.
God damn it,
well,
Kyle.
Not for Joey. He's never seen South Park.
Kyle's mom is big fat bitch in the whole wide world.
Seen something. Bigger, longer, uncut. It's unbelievable.
Why? I'm still mad. I'm mad at both of you, even though I've never talked to you about it. Why didn't nobody ever tell me it was a musical?
Because we thought you seen. I thought you watched South Park. I thought you seen it, and we're all. I like knew it because I don't. Honestly, you're the only person
it's
I know.
Awesome that,
like, that
they made a movie after like what one or two seasons of the show.
No, it was like three. It was more like
it
three.
No,
four.
It really wasn't.
It
that.
Was. They were so fucking popular though. Like they had to make a movie, or else I feel like
they almost made a second one, but it ended up being that like 3-part, 4-part episode of Imagination Land.
Which is basically Ready Player One, because you have these crossover characters fighting a giant war, and you have Kenny, is it, with the PSP, and he's, like, controlling all of them.
Yeah.
So it's, like, Goku and Jesus and, like, whoever, like a Ninja Turtle.
It's
Mickey
Butter,
Mouse.
Butters is the...
Oh, Butters. That's,
is the like,
he's the conduit,
the
right?
Has, yeah, whatever, yeah.
Mom Butters.
It's me and Butters.
Butters is my favorite character.
I got something in my pocket for you.
Kyle, just so you know, I'm rewatching you eating the gum, and I still can't believe you did that. we got him coughing. Okay, you can only do a minute on Instagram, so I cut out the last of it. But okay, that's perfect.
We just didn't get
to see the cards,
and then it cut off.
The whole cut back to the cards didn't have it, but
you know why? College football. Is there a college football reference?
Why is that a football player?
That's the whole thing. Like he's a quarterback for the team, and like
yeah, and that's what he gets money on.
Oh, I thought he was like an actual real life football player.
No. Not all black people are athletes, Mike.
But all white people are. So I just thought, you know, maybe.
I'm just an athlete.
Shot in the dark.
Shot in the dark in your Tuvane.
Shot in the dark. Don't go past that if you're watching Pink Panther's movie. So it goes Pink Panther, a shot in the dark, and then throw the rest of them away.
Steve Martin.
I haven't actually watched those. My whole goal was to go in order and make it, but I quit before I got to Steve Martin. I basically seen all the one with Peter Sellers, and then they started making them without him when he passed away and cobbling together old footage, and they're just... I mean, even before then, they're unwatchable, but...
Jason Statham makes a cameo in the first one.
Oh, there's a lot of... Kevin Kline's in it. Like, there's a lot of... Alfred Molina, like...
And what's his name that's the bad guy?
Beyonce?
Yeah. The bad guy, or one of the bad guys from... the first Mission Impossible, and then got 1998 Godzilla, Leon the Professional.
Yeah, oh,
that's it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's like the guy
that
the Pink Panther. Or no, I'm sorry, not the Pink Panther, but
Clouseau.
It's just this one part where he's like, "I'd like to buy a hamburger."
Okay, yes. So that is the primary reason. Their burger used to be like code between me and my friend Greg for like, "This is gonna suck." Basically, like
that's
anytime
funny.
We would go out, we'd be like, "It's someone older their hamburger or something," and yeah, that is the that's the line from the new Pink Panthers for sure.
Woo!
Before Osama was reference. Killed. Wow. Yeah. R.I.P. Osama? No, right?
No! What the fuck?
I did that to say no. Yeah, right? We don't do that.
The fact that you even had to ask. Like,
that's before
you?
Chris Pratt killed him, right?
Actually, Bruce Willis killed him in Planet Terror.
Oh.
He was coming over a ridge and he wasn't supposed to see him, but there he was and he punched his dialysis ticket.
That was a funny South Park episode where they have, like, it's the Jersey Shore episode, and they have Osama come in and like Al Qaeda, and they're all crashing planes into the Jersey like Shore people.
Oh,
and then at the end, they're like on stage with Osama, and they're like, "We want to thank Osama bin Laden for killing all the like the you know New Jerseyans." And then someone pops him in the head and goes, "We got him."
And they turned him into like Daffy Duck, it was all like him and Cartman Looney Tunes and stuff, which is great.
Yeah, Cartman dressing up like a female
like Bugs Bunny would.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry, bringing it back to Wayne's World. That's what he's like. one of the most genuine laughs in a movie ever. Like
when Bugs Bunny used to dress up as a girl, buddy.
Wayne, did you ever think? Yeah.
You ever think she's attractive?
He's like,
No.
I love Garth whistling the Star Trek theme.
Terrence, what's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
Hi, everyone. Just so Joey knows how much he has to watch Wayne's World, the I Will Not Bow for Sponsors sequence is one of the most amazing sequences.
It's just sad how everyone sells out. It's like, oh, so small.
Well, that's kind of dated now because some of those references aren't on the market. Like New Print, I don't think they sell New Print anymore.
No, but Reebok Dorito at... Is it at... No.
There was like a Calgon joke earlier. I don't think Calgon is a product anymore. Besides, that was pretty ancient Chinese secret. That was a pretty racist thing.
Are you kidding?
And he says that to Cassandra. In the movie.
Yeah.
Ancient Chinese secret. Huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Port au Call, New Orleans.
And what is it? Isn't it
That's
the,
a great lamp.
Yeah, it is a
great boat lamp. She almost pulled a cage there where she's waiting in the doorway.
She's a ghostwriter. She's learning from him.
Okay, so earlier on I wanted to say that she plays probably the most unbelievable character in Ghost Rider. Well, maybe Cage is, because Cage stands her up on a date and then... Asks the waiter, "You wouldn't stand me up, would you?" And the waiter goes like, "Eh." So, like, maybe in that world, like, Is she supposed to be the ugly person? Could you imagine what good-looking people look like in that universe?
It's just like the Twilight Zone episode.
It is, right.
Oh, Eye of the Beholder.
Yes.
The pig people?
Yeah, the pig face. He's a pig face, Jerry. It's a pig man.
You pig fuck. Hashtag PS Love Hoffman.
So, Kyle, why don't you, if anybody listened to this podcast for 94 minutes, now that we are buried deep into the episode, why don't you tell people about Foodie Films?
So, Foodie Films is my solo podcast, as my co-host from PS Love Hoffman, Brian Rodriguez, has a high school slumber party.
You guys lovingly separated, right?
Yeah, we lovingly separated, but we're going to come back. We have an idea, which we haven't announced to you guys, but we have an idea for one that I think will probably start.
Yeah, I'm in, you better tell us at the same time. I don't want him
to it's for something, Brian, but like, we have an idea for a podcast to come back together on, but it won't be until, like, 2019.
Yeah. Undisclosed
like
project.
Ongoing forever, or just, like, a short-term thing?
I feel comfortable in saying it's a genre that has a lot.
Okay, so...
Wrestling?
No. So it's a potential forever cast. Potentially.
Yeah, much, like, again...
Would you do...
And maybe that one would be bi-weekly, because we'll still be going strong with...
Gotcha. Your solos, ones. Got it.
But anyway, Foodie Films is going to be... my solo podcast that will debut in, when do you, this is end of, so it's going to be soon because you said this
you
is
said
end
July
of
right yeah
so this
so
is
hold on this
be,
episode comes out June 21.
Okay, so tune in. We don't have an exact date yet. I think Joey, you asked if like Wednesday is still okay, so it'll be on Wednesdays most likely.
So 4th of July is a Wednesday, so maybe even the 11th or the 18th.
Okay,
oh, you
cool.
know what's really nice about this, the Cage fan art is in the background. Cool. So if he sees
look
that
how good of a cinematographer
don't see that
So talk about Foodie Films.
Yeah, Foodie Films.
I like how I said, like, talk about Foodie Films. Like, here's his next project. I didn't even realize that until, like, just now. But yeah, go ahead. Foodie Films.
So Foodie Films. Yeah. It's a podcast. Duh. That will cover movies that I've got kind of, like, three rules, and I'm sure that I'll start to bend them in some kind of ways, but I'm going to try to stay strict to in the beginning, that either the movie is clearly about food, so I'll give the example of
Chef.
And then either a movie has a character that works in a food place, so like Clerks 2.
Okay.
And
then a movie that, like, so I said this probably works in food, like Clerks 2,
yep.
Or a place or something that just takes place mostly, like so, like in a restaurant or a bar or you know something of around food and drink all the time. So even it could be like. From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh yeah, because it all takes place in a bar.
Sideways.
Why?
So, well, Sideways is the big one.
Yeah.
No, there's
so.
Merlot.
No, there's a Zach Galifianakis joke where he's like,
yes.
I go up to bartenders and I'm just like, I'll have what they were drinking in Sideways, and people are like, sorry, let me update the reference. I'll have what they were drinking in Sideways too. Just like what? Like what kind of reference is wonderful? Live of the Purple Onion. Zach Galifianakis is great.
Just like an elk.
Oh, this is telling the story, yeah.
With Foodie Films, I'm definitely going to have...
crack talking.
Like, you guys on it, and, you know, some guests that were also on PS I Love Hoffman, but also my goal is to really get a lot of people that work in the food industry, food and drink industries, whether they're chefs themselves or, you know, work in the kitchen, restaurant bar managers, or Instagrammers, food bloggers, just people that we can talk about the movie at hand, but also just really get into, like, I want to have, like, a speed round of, like, fun questions, like, what was your favorite childhood snack?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your go-to drink, guilty pleasure food.
Nice.
All that, like, just fun stuff like that, and it's just going to be, because I love food, I love music, I love film, those have been, like, the three, like, big things in my life, and I know everyone enjoys those things, but I really think...
Music is his wife, but food,
Yeah, wait.
Film is his mistress.
No, film is my wife.
Film's your wife. I thought music was your wife.
No, film is my
wife. So food's your mistress?
No, music is my mistress.
No, so who's... What's food?
Food's the booty call.
Yeah, food, okay. Yeah.
Booty call.
It's the midnight snack.
Yeah.
Wink. So here's a
question.
Is
that a Burt Reynolds impression?
What?
That laugh. Is that a Burt Reynolds laugh?
It's a,
I haven't asked Brian this. Actually, all three of... Both of you. Say you were really... I mean, Mike is way, way F in advance. But... Say you're going to go weekly,
mm-hmm.
and I'm assuming, like you did Hoffman, which is how we're actually going to shift the Charlize, so you're going to start recording, you're going to record basically close to, you don't have a co-host. So, like, on Hoffman, you're like, hey, if we can't, if something falls through, you and Brian just do one by yourself. Mm-hmm. Would you ever do an episode just you?
No. I'm gonna have no. There will never be a just me solo episode. Maybe then I would make it like a special episode where I just kind of talk about recently going to, you know, a restaurant or something, or you know, like an episode just about food, and then talk about, or there will be. I'm still trying to decide if there's going to be segments or it can be special clip episodes too. That there are so many films that have great food scenes,
right?
So again, it might come to a point where, again, I bend the rules if they have multiple scenes. Like Goodfellas has a lot of scenes that are with food, but at this point I'm thinking that it'll either be special episodes, or again, like, I'm still figuring out the exact, I want it to be formulaic in not a bad sense of just, I really want to have, like, this is a very much more like segmenty and like couple like sketches toward in the podcast. Yes, this is when the harmonica comes in and
The shootout.
Yeah.
Oh. And the coke goes.
So,
flying.
You know what you should do? I don't know, I'm sure you know about it, although I don't know for sure you know about it, which is why I'm bringing it up. But the Draft House does the feasts. You know the feasts at Draft House? So, like, I saw both Godfather movies, and I paid $65 for the ticket or whatever, and I had a 5-course dinner and 5 alcohol pairings while I watched the 2 movies. And so before the movie starts, dancing.
Bingo.
Nice.
Double bingos. This is so
beautiful.
I love that they didn't even. It's a slender guy with a mohawk.
Oh yeah, that's because that's what his soul looks like.
Yeah, no, I just yeah it's just kind of
look at that look
lovingly.
Yeah.
So before I saw the Godfather,
it would be perfect if a single tear came down then.
Yeah.
They bring out the chef and he's like here's the menu. He's like, here's what I was thinking with the movie. And so the Godfather is obviously, there's like a lot of food in the Godfather, but it's not really about food at all. Uh-huh. But like, I'm sure if anybody of that sort of world would do it, somebody who works at the Draft House as a chef would probably be like, oh hey, you have a podcast about food and movies, like,
yeah,
I'll talk to you. So you should also look in. I don't know who those people are.
Yeah,
there's probably at least one or two at every, you know, location.
I've never been for one of those specific events, but I've definitely been to movies where they have, you know, like the, I mean, always there, I mean, they have like the Royale with cheese always on their menu,
right?
Which Pulp Fiction reference.
Yeah,
but
oh, actually, this place that I was talking about, Subculture in Jersey City, you really should go, because every food is named after something. Their whole menu is, like, decorated.
See, so that's also, a possible segment I'm thinking about doing. It's just, like, so many places. I mean, a lot of Italian delis particularly have it, because they'll have the Balboa sandwich or whatever. But I would love to maybe review a sandwich every week, too. I'm thinking about maybe doing that, like, either having someone else do that.
And then.
Or doing it as a character.
Like the sandwich report?
No, don't do it as a character. That seems like a weird idea. The good thing is that
if this ever becomes,
like, a thing where you, like, you know, file taxes, that's a deductible every week. So, you know, you're... Like, if you ever earn income from foodie films and declare that, you can then write off all the sandwich costs. Be like,
nice.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, I could write off all my books.
And the one thing
if we make money, but we're not making money, bitch.
I'm hoping.
Because we don't want it. No.
Definitely by now, I'll be very scared if, again, it's June, whatever, what did we
21.
Say? 21. And this hasn't happened yet, but I just, while we're recording this, yesterday I posted on Facebook, and I've been talking to other people, and I'm pretty close. I wrote... And I'm not. That's why music is my mistress, and not like
not your wife.
Not my wife, not my job, because I'm not talented at, you know, writing lyrics or anything like that. But I wrote very silly theme song lyrics about me as the host and like why I'm into food and films, and I'm getting. And again, I'll be very scared if I'm listening to this when this comes out and I still have it recorded. But I'm looking for a female. Preferably female singer, and I want to be just like very like the juxtaposition of how like soulful it is, but just the silly lyrics of, you know.
I mean, I can't believe that Brian got the Donnas to perform his theme song.
Yeah,
like, that's
pretty
amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool though. I think that'll be the first original music for our network.
You know,
I don't think we have any. You know,
no, I flirted with the idea.
We've used some stuff in the public domain, but most of it is.
Well, technically, I mean.
Totally
it's
illegal.
It's movie quotes, and then I used an Iggy Pop song, but I did create for P.S. I Love Hoffman the opening thing. But that's not,
he could still sue. Well, he wouldn't sue us, because we're not, like, making money.
No, we're not, but. No, but that would be, anytime we play clips, we wouldn't be able to do that either.
No, you can, so in terms of, and this is obviously has everything to do with
if you're still listening, I love the technical answer.
So in terms of, like, rights of things on podcasts. If you are doing commentary on them or parody, you have the you can use it.
So theme song, it's fair use, and we comment kind of right after the theme song plays.
Like, wow, what a good song!
Yeah, love for Iggy Pop. Like we just say like a minute or two about Iggy Pop facts
every episode. No, but like that's why you know you're able to get around that. But like if you're just playing music, like we just use music. I mean, like, but still, like if ever somebody was like, hey, don't use it, I'd be like, okay, cool, like I'll fix everything. You know what I mean? Like it's not like a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're just like playing clips to talk about it, or you're adding commentary, because like it is. Essentially, you're giving all these movies an hour of free advertising.
I completely agree.
I mean, legally, the people can still be like, well, we don't want you using clips or whatever, but like, because of the format of what we do, there is ground as in terms of just providing commentary. We're like legally allowed to use that. I mean, we can't use copyrighted theme songs and stuff as music, which we do, but you know.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
But I don't think we use enough of it to get noticed anyway, either, you know. It's like, and like you said, we're not profiting from it, so
we're a nonprofit organization.
You bring up something that didn't occur to me though. Like, what if I have to host an episode alone of my show? Like,
you won't. I'm not
have to, but like maybe I will. Maybe I will.
I mean, you could.
But what would that be like?
It's uncomfortable. You were doing 2-minute intro.
Well, I'm saying it would be good for me though to do that. I mean, I wouldn't want to necessarily if I had the choice. But if like push came to shove, would it just be me reading for an hour?
We're recording this episode a day after High School Slumber Party came out, and Brian was like, you know, of course. I mean, I'm going to listen to it. And he's like, but he says like, please listen to it. And so I was driving somewhere, so I put it on or whatever, and he goes, I'm Brian Rodriguez, and right away I'm like, and I'm Kyle Reifert. I'm like, oh my god, like the void, hearing that, like being like,
right?
Because there was even like
like a
not
pause.
Intentionally, but there was like a little pause, like not enough
for
time for
name.
Me to say I'm Kyle Reinfried, and I texted him right away with like a you know crying emoji.
I like his I like his format. It was really smart to do like an introduction kind of thing, like hey. Brian, we're going to get to it.
Because I actually haven't seen Better Off Dead.
Ooh.
Whoa! Watch it today. I'm going to listen.
It just got the willies. Oh, it's the guy again.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is where everything goes right in the next scene.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you seen One Crazy Summer?
Okay.
I've never even heard of One Crazy
Summer. Oh, dude, you got to watch it after, because they're kind of like, it's a spiritual sequel in a lot of ways. Same director, same actor.
Is it okay with you if I don't?
No, absolutely not.
You have to see
tonight. I need to watch Better Off Dead.
You don't have to watch it tonight.
I'm going to let you borrow Better Off Dead on VHS.
No, I already have it. Don't worry about it.
On VHS.
As long as you watch One Crazy Summer, you know, soon, you'll be good.
It's not going to happen, but
if you like Better Off Dead, you're going to love it. It's basically part two. It's instead of what happens during school, what happens during summer.
If I ever do, and I feel bad because you know he was also in like Kong Skull Island. Like that actor's in stuff. But,
what's wrong with Kong Skull Island? It's fucking awesome.
No, I'm saying he's in stuff. Like, I'm saying he's in stuff, but I still don't remember his name.
Oh, right.
And
he's in a Fast and Furious movie.
If I ever did, he is. Two Fast and Furious, right?
He comes back in 6, but I'm not sure if he's in 5 or 2.
But who was that?
That's the guy who works with Brian. No, that's the guy.
Oh, the guy who breaks his nose.
Yeah, Brian
breaks his nose in both movies.
Yeah.
And so, but I would, if I ever did a podcast on his career, I would have it called the Whoa Okay Podcast, because that's like a...
God. But you're just like us. We're just coming up with names for shows we're never going
to
do.
Remember how at lunch we were talking about how like it's easy to search for certain things? Like, I'm searching for Whoa Okay. We had a very serious Cage Club lunch.
A meeting. We had a lunch meeting.
We have a lunch meeting.
$10,000.
I love it how attitude adjusts.
Now we're going to go see Jack Nicholson.
As soon as everyone gets what they want and they're happy, their attitude is just totally different towards them.
Like, everyone's like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and just like, I love that one, the young cops are great. He's like, like shrugging and the like double chin kind of.
Because you expect the movie to have him waking up after this scene, but this is actually what's happening.
Yeah. You think it's like a total drug high. But
right.
Then,
hallucinating some of it, or it's not going down exactly this way.
Yeah.
But the crack pipe, fond memories.
I was looking away, but was the last scene we were watching him sitting on the couch with Jennifer Coolidge watching the football game?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that totally makes you... Like, at that point, it sucks because what's happening in the game, and he's just, like, sunken into the couch. He's in the, what do they call it in Get Out?
The sunken place.
Thank you.
You were close.
I was.
This is me stirring my tea.
Oh, the spoon.
Oh, speaking of tea, spoon. Oh,
thank you.
There is no
spoon. Catherine Keener, multiple no collaborator in front of Filter Hoffman. Hashtag Peace Love Hoffman.
Sink to the floor.
Which Hoffman? Was she in a Hoff movie?
She was in a bunch. She was in Capote.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, she played...
Lee Quartet.
In Capote.
Synecdoche, New York.
Oh, that's right. She's the
she
white...
was an adaptation.
The other, yes, but Hoffman wasn't.
Or was he?
But
maybe he was. But that was written by the same guy who wrote Synecdoche.
Charlie Kaufman. Yeah.
We're connecting all the dots.
Well, I don't really mean that. I was just in the same room as him.
I met Spike Jonze on the set of Wolf of Wall Street when I got that signature.
And with the mustache and everything, yeah. Right?
My friend spotted him. I'm like, holy shit. Like,
Penny Stocks.
He was just wearing... He looked exactly like his, like, 90s, like, skater, like, the hoodie, just, like, baggier pant. Like, he looked like he
if
was...
If you make $4,000, yeah. I'll blow you right now.
And then
those
Ethan...
are wicked numbers.
Ethan Tremblay, right? Isn't that his name?
Oh, the
Boy
big
Meets
dude.
World used to be really big.
Yeah, he used to be huge.
And then he's
still Wolf pretty big, but like he
yeah,
used to
but
be,
no, he lost. Who was in
American History X?
Cold Mountain with not shared a scene with Philip Seymour Hoffman, but he's in Cold Mountain.
Eddie Furlong, American History X, Ed Norton, Ethan Embry. That is a fucked up movie.
Oh, that's so fucked up. Fuck Terrence. Poor Exhibit. I mean, not poor Exhibit. He killed like a family in this movie, but. Yes, Val Kilmer's back.
Gets in there for the ending. They
reteamed. I love it. He's like almost got like a mullet.
Cuff him, Stevie.
But not really. Val Kilmer. Oh, please, get well, Val Kilmer. Get well.
It's just, every time I think about it, I just want to watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang more and more.
Yeah, Perry. Well, what did I watch? I watched The Nice Guys.
So his name is Gay Perry in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Now, is that a joke on Gay Perry? Like,
I think so.
Happy Paris?
Yeah.
Like,
that makes
okay.
sense, yeah. I never thought about it, but that makes sense. All
right. But his character is actually gay, too, though, right? So it's like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Right. And that's totally everyone knows.
And he's such a badass.
Well, everyone always like, gives it to, they say, Zodiac or Iron Man, but that is the...
That it's the unknown,
of,
I feel
is,
like, his comeback, you
yeah,
mean?
That's
yeah,
that's his comeback.
It's, his, it's the unknown performance.
That's his, oh yeah, like, Robert Downey Jr. is incredibly talented. Let's put him in stuff.
Oh, right. He was also in Charlie Bartlett with
Yelchin. He was pretty good in that. That movie's a little uneven, but it's still pretty cool. And we end where we begin, getting a commemoration.
This guy's also in a lot of stuff, too.
Yeah, it's a familiar face.
He's like a military leader or like a lawyer. Or...
He looks a lot like, he's now passed, but he looks like Ron Howard's dad a little bit.
He looks like he belongs in the Kennedys.
He does a little bit.
Who's knows. Ron Howard's dad, Andy Griffith?
No.
Don Knotts, idiot.
No.
Whoa!
I can never remember his first name, but he was a character actor for like 50, 60
she's
years.
She's pregnant. Everyone's cleaned up. Michael Shannon needs to be there, and Val Kilmer, but unfortunately they're not. Think about this cast.
It's amazing.
Has she been in anything recently?
Who are you talking about?
Eva?
Yeah.
Well, she's got two, like, real young kids.
I know, but I'm just gonna, I mean,
Eva Mendes. Hitch. No, the last thing she was in was Lost River with that Gosling directed. Wow, okay.
Yeah, so she's been playing Mommy, which
yeah.
is
and doing
the greatest
doing
role
right.
of them all.
I mean, she doesn't need to work. I mean, if she wants to, go for
what's
it.
What's Gosling's like next thing? The Neil Armstrong?
Which is going to be apparently
who's
like... What?
Directing...
Damien Chazelle.
That's Damien. Yeah, okay, duh.
And so apparently
it should just be like I feel like this is a world where like when you're thinking of you just be like who they've been collaborating with.
Like, I feel like he should play Mickey Mantle.
Gos?
Yeah.
Well, we
Thomas
had
Jane.
No, yeah, Tom
Did Thomas Jane, Jane played him?
Yeah, 61. In 61
oh,
with
I never saw
and,
that.
Barry Pepper played Roger Maris. It's
isn't 61
it's
about
really good.
Right,
it's about it takes place in
when Roger Maris breaks the home run.
Yeah, oh shit. I never knew. Oh,
one of the
okay.
first lines of the movie is Mickey Mantle saying, "I like girls with small hands, it makes my dick look bigger."
There's
that's the only thing I remember from the movie.
Hey, well, the last line from The Master is, now stick it back in, it fell out. So, God knows I love my opening or closing for
So Ron lines. Howard's name, now that it's like a year later, his dad's awesome. Name was Rance Howard.
Rance?
Yeah, Rance. And this is, see, he kind of looked like that guy. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He just, nice he, the, just, he was
nice house in the
just passed, he was 89, he just yes. passed away last November.
But apparently, First Man is not going to be like a biopic, it's going to be like an action, not like an action movie, kind of.
Oh, like a Getting to the Moon kind of thing?
I don't know what it is, but I can't wait.
You should watch From the Earth to the Moon. That's an amazing
I've
show.
I've seen it.
You
know
who's one of my...
Rewatch it.
No.
Watch it three times.
No.
Just watch that one episode.
What one episode?
About Neil Armstrong. Actually, the best one is the one with Dave Foley, where he plays the artist. I forget. But he actually brought moon rock back from the moon, and he incorporated it into his paintings. And
speaking then he of moon rock, Cage about to spell crack rock.
Yeah.
Incorporate into one of his paintings?
Yeah, like that's what he would do. He would incorporate moon dust and his uniform into his paintings, and he drew paintings of people on the moon.
So, do you think he's been like this whole time? Is he? Because he looks like at the thing, he looked all cleaned up and everyone's happy. So, is he this is him relapsing or?
Yeah,
I think his whole life is just like a series of like getting clean and relapsing and getting clean and okay. relapsing and getting clean and relapsing.
But does right. he?
So, Alan Bean, Dave Foley played him on Earth to the Moon. These are some of his. Paintings.
Oh.
And they're all of people doing stuff on the moon.
I like that one. Go back, because I like that one that it's like has like a footprint on it.
Yeah, so it does, because he stepped on it with his moon boot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like that's what he does. He incorporates like his stuff into his paintings and everything, and there's like moon rock and dust, and he's an amazing artist, too, to boot, so.
A boot?
That's what that's a boot.
We are wrapping down this movie.
Yeah. Talk about a bookend. Bookend ending.
What are you talking about?
This just like I mean,
oh, the flood.
Oh, this guy, the guy he saved. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's
Digital
not injured.
Line.
I wonder what the movie would have been called if Werner Herzog could have just named it.
I thought he opted for this name. I thought Joey said something that it was just going to be called Port of Call or something like that.
No, the producers pushed for Bad Lieutenant to give people like a bit more of like...
Got
give,
it.
Give it a little bit of a chance to make money.
I think it might have Did made more money.
No, if but it, I'm just saying...
It
just
probably
like,
would have made more if it was its own
I
thing. I like the unnecessariness of it being called Bad Lieutenant... Like, as if to say, remember Bad Lieutenant, that movie?
No, you don't. Like,
I personally think in... I think that one's early 91, 92.
What, Bad Lieutenant 1?
Yeah.
I think it's like 80s. But
is it?
I'm not positive. I'm doing terrible today with my...
I'm looking it up.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, nice shot. So they're
Bad
both,
Lieutenant's 92.
Oh, 92.
92.
Okay.
So, and this is 2009, so that's, what, 17
yep.
years later? So 2026, I want Ryan Gosling. In Bad Lieutenant,
Bad Lieutenant
fuck
3.
Yeah.
Just call it Bad Lieutenant 3.
Nah, Bad Lieutenant, like
New Mexico,
hipster Brooklyn.
Oh no way! You gotta have some place that's like.
No, the first one's in New York, so it needs to be needs
L.A.
To be American city. It could be L.A., but like Portland,
Chicago, Portland.
Oh, wait. Wait for it.
The smile?
Just, yeah. The little laugh, right?
Mike, can you give me a timestamp for this?
156:45.
Basically the last shot in the movie.
Yes. What a great movie.
That was a good one.
Well, thank you for joining us, Kyle.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
This has been your first and hopefully not your last.
Yeah, my first. Yeah.
Cage Club Revisited.
Woo! Saturn Films.
Thanks, guys, and remember to check in.
I was going to say, remember to tip your waitstaff.
I saw that too.
How many boxes did you cross off, including the center space? I have 15.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. But I never got. I got
eight,
one bingo.
Three, eight.
I got three bingos.
Nine.
Fyruza Balk, there she is.
I have 10, but I still don't have a bingo. I'm
technically
away.
Is that... I think the Iguanas is a montage. I would count that
as
a montage.
I don't think it covers, like, a lot enough time.
But that's technically that. I think that
I'll give it to you. I'm not getting bingo no matter what.
No. I mean, it's not going to give me another bingo, but that would give me 16.
It would beat me.
And that's all that matters. Thank you, sir.
So go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, at cageclubpod on Twitter, also at cageclubpod on Instagram now.
Watch Kyle eat old gum.
Email mailbag at cageclub.me. Yeah, go back. Today is May. This is your phone.
Sorry, it's still got
May
the
12th.
Date.
So go back to our Instagram from that day and watch Kyle chew 35-year-old gum.
Not
and
chew,
swallow it.
Yeah, exactly. So that I really, that. I'm kind of afraid to drive home right now.
Hey man, it's already going viral on Instagram. It's not going viral, but it has a handful of likes.
As long as you don't get viral from eating it and anything. If it started healing you, like in strange ways,
yeah. What if you like? What if you became like super healthy?
From
that's
eating
impossible.
The old
just me the word.
Well, that's what we're saying. It would take a super
healthy. Will never.
It would take a supernatural piece of gum.
Foodie films.
Health foodie films.
No. Not like Whole Foods.
Hey, Whole Foods is good food.
I know.
Should I read one more card back before we
please.
Go out? Okay, Clark Kent.
No. I want you to read the one with the frozen lake.
Oh, good call. Okay, where is that one? That was a great moment. The enormous ice platter.
Yes.
Card 26.
Okay.
In a fantastic display of strength,
yep.
Superman flings the huge ice platter, actually Lake Comuga in a frozen state, over the fire at the chemical plant. The platter melts instantly, averting a major catastrophe. Continued on card number 27.
Oh, no.
A dapper Clark Kent.
There's a cliffhanger on these trading cards?
Yeah, everyone leads on to another.
Was that number 26, though?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
No, it was number 8. No, of course, yeah. They were all out of order. Yeah, you know, these Superman 3 cards, I don't know about the black border. You know, there's something off about the black border. I was hoping maybe more of a
I don't like it being framed like that.
No. This is a nice one, though.
I like Infinity cards, like an Infinity Pool. The image just, you know, goes off of the card.
a open edge as opposed to a closed edge.
Yeah. Oh, you should go find Laurent Gougneau, who is a chef.
The chef, or the chef's assistants, at least. I would interview Catherine Jung or Marcus Barbin. Or
well,
it would
be
Jeff
interesting
Nolan
if you
Nielsen.
Even interviewed someone in craft services for like major movies and stuff. Like
that'd be
awesome.
Would
be an extra episode.
That. That's a good idea.
Well, like on Matt Gorley's podcast, I was there too. He's gone from doing actors. This week, he did an animal trainer, and it was a really cool, interesting episode.
Still in a movie? What you know?
She did a bunch of movies.
Wait, what? Recorded at a studio in the Czech Republic?
Probably music. Yeah.
It's interesting. Oh, well,
yeah, it could be the
song.
Score or something.
He, like, you know, like, has ties at least over
there. Oh, yeah, he's
like,
old.
That was a that's a really obscure country.
No, Czech Republic, a lot of American movies get made there because it's very cheap.
No, I know, but I'm just, but, like, there's a difference between that being, like, a location versus just
no,
like, a
right.
place for
production or something.
Audio work being done.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
this has got to be one of Cage's longer movies, right? Like 2 hours, 2 minutes?
Yeah, it's up there, especially with ones we've watched recently.
This is, in my opinion, one of his, like, last, like, great.
Don't bite your tongue, bite your tongue.
Maybe theatrically released.
He's been in great movies.
He's
since
been
this.
In some good shit since, but I think I hear where you're coming from, though. This is the last time he was sort of all in the spotlight and everything. Like, this got a big theatrical release.
What year was... it was after that he played...
This was around
like,
this...
That he played...
Big Daddy.
Yeah.
It's like the same year.
It was, I think it was 2010. Or maybe 2009.
Yeah, I think it was 2010.
But really, Big Daddy, I feel like that
what
was
What does he say
last...
when he's, like, lit on fire and he's telling
now
her...
Now switch
yeah.
To kryptonite!
Robin's Revenge!
Since this movie came out, he's been in these great movies. He's been in Army of One. He's been in Joe.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Joe's
been
so good.
In
Sorry.
Mom and Dad is really good. I really like Drive Angry a lot.
Seeking Justice is a good one.
And, Stolen. The Trust is really good. The Croods is really good.
Croods cartoon.
Anyway, that's enough. Go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, at cageclubpod on Twitter or Instagram. Email us, mailbag@cageclub.me. Let us know you made it to the end. We will mail you a sticker. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Later.